This is The Huddle, powered in part by Reuben James on Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. And by Orange Theory Fitness. Come see why the New York Times and Men's Health rate it the best one-hour workout. Your first workout is free. Open in Burlington on Shelburne Road. The Huddle is now on 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 The Game app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle right here. 101.3 The Game, all accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Arnie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Nothing. I'm swell.
What do you mean nothing? What do you mean you're swell?
I don't know what's going on.
Who uses that word anymore? Swell.
No.
Is that Leave It to Beaver?
Yeah. No, that's the Little Rascals. I'm swell.
Gee, Mrs. Cleaver, you're swell.
You're swell,
Mrs.
How
about you, Cleaver? Eddie Haskell?
Unbelievable. Right off the bat, Brady, you playing hoops tonight? I've got to know.
I am. I will be there.
All right. Don't back out now.
I'm not backing out.
It's called Soft Wednesday for a reason. That's what.
You're going to be the one who wants to back out by the time I get there and just am all over you.
It's starting to get a little chippy right off the bat. I love it.
Good. I like when it's chippy.
Yeah. No, you actually don't. But
I do.
We're bringing the cops into Williston Central tonight.
I want to Facebook it live, Rich. You got to come and go and do that for us.
Like I know how to do that.
Oh, yeah, I'll set it up. Just point the phone. That's all
point
you have
your
to
phone.
Do.
Okay, I can do that.
I bet you, and out of my quarter of a billion listeners per month,
right?
I bet you we get a lot of people that want to watch, and then they can make little comments and. You know,
compliments in your case.
No, there's not going to be a lot of compliments.
Wow, Arnie never moved.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a little disappointed neither one of you responded to my funny email last night.
And that would be?
What was it?
The email. So I get emails from Fox Sports people now all the time because of our affiliation.
Yes.
And on the bottom it said connecting with a quarter of a billion people.
Yeah, like that. You thought that was all fake. But you know what? That's a quarter of a billion. It's a little misleading because it had to do with like radio. Is that also television? No, it's radio, like internet and all that stuff, right?
Yes, everything.
Yeah. Okay.
So, digitally.
So you're just feeding us a corporate line is what you're doing. That isn't something you made up.
No, I didn't make it up. It wasn't like I counted how many people listened to my show on the weekends.
No, but I just thought that that was sort of an Arnie Spanier thing.
No, so. We really reach a quarter of a billion. If you think about that, me doing it in my house and reaching a quarter of a billion per month, that's a lot, really.
I'd rather not even think about that possibly. I can barely get in front of people for trivia.
I'm sitting there in my shorts and my slippers, and I'm doing the damn show.
Well, at least you didn't say underwear for a change.
Yeah.
Or Speedo.
Quarter of a billion people. If I actually thought about it, I'd get sick to my stomach.
Yes.
How many people actually tune on in? So
how was trivia last night?
The trivia was great.
Good.
It was a lot of fun. Full house. People were outside. Good questions, good crowd last night, and no, it was a blast. We had a good time. I like that. I always like when it's a full crowd and people get into it, it was close.
Are the St. Mike's kids coming too?
Yes, we had like new ones too. A group of like five or six were sitting out back. They won. You would have thought they won $1 million.
Well, it's free food, and they're college kids.
Yeah.
That's the gold mine.
Yeah,
right
they got
there.
Like a $25 gift certificate off their bill. They're
absolutely.
Like, we're coming back.
That's the holy grail for college kids.
Oh, yeah.
Free food, baby.
Free food. Out of my kid's 52 free pizzas that he won at Kent State. Remember free pizza?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He's already used 26 of them. He's already burned through half. Of the pizzas in, what was it, 2 weeks now?
Yeah.
3 weeks?
That doesn't surprise me. He's got friends.
Now he has friends, yeah.
I can only imagine if there was trivia within walking distance of a place that I went to school, just how often I would have been there.
Yeah.
I would have been there every single week. I did go every Wednesday to a place that will remain nameless. They actually had beer pong tournaments.
Oh, yeah.
And so we played that, and then eventually they got in trouble because one of the guys got too drunk and started beating someone up outside.
So sounds like your basketball game.
So yeah. they couldn't have beer pong tournaments anymore, but we used to do trivia. It was trivia from 8 to 10 and then beer pong from 10 to midnight.
We would do beer pong with a trash cans and a big rubber ball.
Oh, that's good, too.
Yeah, that and we'd do it across the parking lot. It was sponsored by the beer company.
So that's how your jump shot got so good.
Yeah, just that's
shooting,
exactly. Just
shooting.
The rubber ball. Yes, exactly.
That was when it all started. Ray Allen, Arnie Spanier, can't even tell the difference.
No, it was a blast, though. I always like when the crowd gets into it, though. Questioning every question. Is it, wait a minute, what about this? What about that?
And you know what they do is they'll Google it and then come up to you and question you. But it's like, wait a minute, remember, you can't Google during this night.
No, I didn't put it down. I just, just went ahead and Googled it for some reason, for whatever reason there.
But we're not Googling.
No, we're not doing any of that. All right, Brady, we got a busy show. A lot is going on today, so where do we want to start things off?
Well, remember, because of the fun we had yesterday at trivia, we're going back to the Burger Bar this Sunday.
Yes.
We are going to be watching the Patriots and Jaguars. That is the best game, hands down, on the NFL schedule, and you can watch it with us. And not only that.
Yes.
Matt at Burger Bar also has the NFL Sunday ticket. So you can watch the Patriots and Jags, or you can watch the other games on the other TVs. You never have to miss a minute. We will be there at 4:25 for the start of Patriots-Jaguars, half-price appetizers, $2 Miller Lite specials.
Wow.
And we are giving away a Miller Lite custom keg grill.
I saw it. And I saw it yesterday.
How cool is it?
It's so cool. And it is so cool.
And I saw the other things we're giving away.
Yeah.
Vermont pizza cards.
Nice.
We've got $100 in Burger Bar gift cards to give away. And we got golf, bowling, you name it, I'm bringing it on Sunday.
I want to bring a recliner so I could sit in it. No, no, I'm being serious. I have a inflatable recliner.
Oh, New like York, they used to sell.
Yeah, like I have a New York Knicks one.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's totally awesome. And I want to bring it and just so I can have my elbow room and just so I can just sit in the middle of the Burger Bar and start flipping people crap. When the Patriots start getting behind against Jacksonville.
When they're down 30-0 at the half.
Well, hopefully it's that close.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's that close.
Well, you are very confused.
You think I could get somebody mad at me enough to take a swing at me?
Absolutely. I'm sure it wouldn't be the first time.
So come out to the Burger Bar. And let me antagonize you.
We're trying to get people to show up.
I know. But there's a reason to show up.
But the Patriot fans actually think that I'm full of baloney and that they're going to win this game. Mm. So,
honey, I'm going to take a couple of friends out to this. To the
Arnie's
going to
antagonize
us. And I'm going to get in a brawl with a radio show host.
Arnie's going to antagonize us to death, so I want to make sure I'm there when the Patriots are losing.
It is going to be sweet.
Monday, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Monday morning. We're literally dedicating the entire show Monday to hammering on you.
Yeah. Just don't get near me. Go ahead.
Burger
Bar. Don't worry.
Burger Bar on Sunday. Mistake of the day today if you want to get in. 802-655-6672. Thanks to Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. As for today, the Sox officially clinch a playoff berth. We'll talk with Field Yates of ESPN at 4:20. We'll also talk about Des Bryant's interesting comments that he thinks he's coming to New England. Buster Olney will stop by at 5 o'clock. But first, I wanted to bring this up, and I put it out on Facebook because I saw somebody wonder this. So I was listening to Barstool Sports, and I do that frequently. I was listening to Pardon My Take podcast, and Barstool Big Cat is his name. He says, I'm 33 years old. I'm a diehard Chicago Bears fan, and my whole day on Monday was ruined by Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And he goes, is this ever going to go away? Like, at what point does sports stop affecting your overall happiness? He goes, does it ever go away? And is there something wrong with me that it still bothers me to this level?
My dad died when he was 90, but up to like 87, 88, he couldn't bear to watch games. Like, he would get so, just Arizona, he could watch any game other than Arizona football, Arizona basketball.
Did he go to Arizona also?
No, he didn't go to Arizona, but because we did. He was a big Arizona fan. He couldn't watch the game or listen to the play-by-play, he would put it on a station, back in the day where it would have scores every 15 minutes or every 30 minutes, and he would listen to the score updates because he would get too nervous. And that's at like 88 years old.
Yeah.
It still was too nervous for him to just, I'm like, dude, just put the game on.
I learned my spewing venom and being angry over sports from the master. That would be my father, who also was the same way. I mean, every weekend he went to Bates College, which is over in Lewiston, Maine.
Yeah,
they play Middlebury. And everybody in my family except me, I would have lasted 3 days at Bates before I flunked out, went to Bates. So he was in love with Bates football. And what I haven't told you yet is Bates, I think, in probably the 10 years that we followed that team around every Saturday all over the Northeast, won about 3 games.
Oh,
you
geez.
Went to every game?
And we went to every game,
wow.
And he was absolutely livid at that football team. We'd sit there, drive up to Lewiston or over to, to Wesleyan or to Middlebury. I still go to all the Bates at Middlebury games every other year and watch Middlebury crush them. Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
And he would just get so angry. You could just see he'd sit there all the way to the game. He'd say, I'm not going to get mad today. And this is why I have an ex-wife instead of a wife.
Yeah.
She literally would throw me out of the house when I was married on Sundays during the Patriots. Because when I was married to her, they'd go 2-14 or 5-11 or whatever every year. And she would throw me out of the house. She'd say, go mow the lawn. I said, I just mowed it. Mow it again. Just get out of the house. I can't take it another minute. And I can't explain it. It hasn't gotten any better at 57 years old.
Well, I would say a couple things. I think as far as your college goes, you talk about your dad liking Bates. You talk about you liking Arizona.
Yeah.
I don't think that love for your college ever subsides. And I don't think disappointment or anger about your college ever subsides. I think that's a personal pride thing that people will carry with them forever. As far as professional teams that you're in love with, does it ever go away? I would say, one, sports absolutely affects my happiness on a day-to-day basis. You've seen me in here. When the Mariners are losing during the show,
you're salty.
I definitely do not enjoy being pushed around, you know, having my buttons.
But it makes me happy.
I know you're the worst person to have in here. But as far as Brady goes, there's no question.
The worst person.
You get impatient with us.
But I think that, I would say, I think it goes away.
Never.
Once your team... Once your team has won a championship, I think it goes away far more. Once they've won a championship recently, I think it goes away. Now, I think it comes back if you win a champ. Just to say, the team won a championship 25 years ago, I don't think that matters anymore. But I can tell you that I get far more agitated with the Mariners than I do the Seahawks, because the Seahawks have won a Super Bowl within the last 5 years. So I look at it as like, hey, I'm lucky that they've won one. A lot of people don't even get that. Now I can no longer bring myself to get mad about the Seahawks like I used to. But the Mariners haven't been to the playoffs in 18 years. I get mad about them every single night, and it affects my night. If they won the World Series some point, I think it would. I think living and dying with them would go away for a time period, because I feel lucky to get one.
Like a Cub fan.
Yeah. Yes. My dad is a diehard White Sox fan.
Oh.
So they won the World. So they won the World Series in 2005.
Yeah.
And
right.
His words were, they win the title, and his words are, I can now die happy.
And that's the way Cub fans are. Well,
man, it sucks.
And I think he felt that way for about 5 years, where after that he was like, okay, I want him to win one title in my life. They finally did. Now I'm happy. Okay, whatever. But now here we are 13 years removed, and here they are, one of the worst teams in baseball, and he's ready to throw things against the wall again every night. So I think it comes back. But I think when you have a recent title, it starts to subside.
And it's a little bit trickier for Boston sports fans, because every non-Boston fan looks at us as incredibly spoiled, especially the millennials who have never had a losing team ever, really, except for a couple of Red Sox last place finishes in the last 10 years. And so you have to be a little bit careful when you get angry at the Patriots. I found this when I go out and they lose or play poorly and I start getting angry. They look at me like,
yes.
What the hell could you possibly be angry about? You have it so easy.
And that's what I'm saying. I agree with those people. I get mad at greedy fans, and I guess that's kind of where you're coming from.
Did you see the video that's viral now on Twitter?
Which one? There's only 1,000.
No, the one that the Detroit fan wearing the Lions jersey. I think it was a Matthew Stafford jersey.
Is it the girl?
No, it's a guy. I want to say screaming at the TV, but that's an understatement. when it starts going south, the third quarter?
Yeah,
yep. It's like the devil possessed him. It's like he went from watching the game, enjoying it, you know, I think it was 17-17 at that point, to like 5 minutes later, you would have thought they shot him up with drugs or something. Yeah. I mean, it was like a whole, he was screaming like never heard anybody scream before in my life.
I mean, when we were at McGillicuddy's for the AFC, the Colchester McGillicuddy's for the AFC, the Jacksonville Patriots game, I literally sat in a corner and sulked and just sat there by myself. And everybody's like, what's wrong? You're only losing by 3 or 7 or whatever. I said, I think it's best if I just stay away from people.
Wow.
It's that bad.
That is why, again, I call it the greedy sports fan. That's what I try not to be. That's why I don't allow myself to get... I was rip-roaring upset about the Seahawks losing to Denver. I thought they got jobbed by the ref the other day. But then when I remind myself, dude, they won a Super Bowl 5 years ago. I would have given when I was growing up, when I was 7 years old and 11 years old, I would have given my left arm for them to make the playoffs. Yeah. Nevertheless, be in a position to win 2 Super Bowls. Now, they blew one with the Malcolm Butler play, but it didn't crush me like people think that it does. People love to point out, hey, the Malcolm Butler play. It doesn't bother me anymore because they won one before that, and I remember what it was like to have all the lean years when they would never win anything, and I remember what it's like to be a Mariners fan when they don't even get close to winning anything, and I'd like to have that one memory, and I could hold on to that. So I think it subsides when you realize that you have a title. At least that's how I look at
it. Well, it's supposed to, apparently.
All right, Tom Fair Tire text line, you tell us, 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. Tristan and Wilson. Hey, everyone, I've been on vacation for a week in Hilton Head, South Carolina, by the way. I love that place.
Getting out of there.
Oh, it is sweet.
Wow.
It is sweet down there.
Now it isn't.
No, right. Did I miss anything good with the show?
Check the podcast.
No, not really. No, not really. Ty says, just a reminder, Artie, I like my wings tossed in hot sauce and honey garlic on the side. We have a bet on the Jacksonville Patriots game, right?
Are you going to go up to...
Is he going
to
come? Is
Quebec
he
area?
Well, no, he's got to come down here. Come to the burger bar on Sunday. Yeah. And when Jacksonville wins, you could pay me right there and then. Andrew in Ferrisburg, Arnie, you've been wrong about the Patriots since you came to this radio station. Why should we be worried?
Exactly.
Well, even a broken clock's right twice a day, right?
Well, yes. Look, I mean, you're saying that Jacksonville is going to win, and that's entirely possible. I mean, that's not you're not taking a huge gamble here. That's a very good team playing at home against a team they want to beat.
Luke says, I find as I get older, my emotional investment is next to none, but I still love to watch sports.
See that, Luke, congratulations, man. I got to go hang out with him. And like last Sunday, what do? I knew there was a Patriots game, so what did I do? I got on my bike and went to the middle of nowhere up in Quebec, and I felt good about it. But the whole time, I'm checking that score. And as long as the Patriots are ahead, I'm still enjoying my bike ride.
We put the poll question up on Facebook, and you can vote on it at 101.3 The Game. And I said, are you someone who lets sports affect your overall happiness on a day-to-day level? 62% of people say no.
Wow.
And I think at least half of you are lying. I just don't find any way that people don't allow. I mean, the comments.
I think college affects people a lot more. I mean, when you have people trying to poison trees and stuff like that, that's a little out of bounds.
Al says, that's sad if you do. Casey says, it bothers me when it happens, but it doesn't ruin my whole week. I guess she's talking about football. Jason says, if it's positive, yes. If it's negative, no. Sports news can lift me up, but it rarely brings me down.
Why don't we rephrase the question? When you said sports, does it affect you if your team loses? Why don't we ask the football father or the hockey mom when their high school kid is on a team and they lose, how it affects them for the day or the week or the month.
I couldn't even sit with you at your kid's games.
Could you imagine? Yes. And my wife, I can't even get near her.
I can't even imagine what she must have been
on one side of the rink and I'm on the other.
I totally believe it.
Oh, see, now it's worse when your kid is playing.
I mean, think about Beth Brady. Think about her and her intensity, what she must have been like at those games for Shea.
See, people take that a lot more seriously than your professional team, I promise you that.
I mean, the poor refs.
I feel bad for them.
And don't think about it even just that way. Maybe that affects you because you're invested in it. But what about when the parent doesn't care as much and the kid cares and then ruins the parent's day? Like, I remember days where I'd go 0-for-4, pitch real bad, and I'd come home and be just an absolute
jerk,
tear to be around.
Oh, wow.
And, my parents were like, what is wrong with you? Yep. Why are you acting this way? Well, I just went 2 1/3 and gave up 9 runs. You'd act like this too. So,
I believe me. I'm you lived my life 25 years later.
Yeah. No, the parents that come home, they must be doing some serious yelling at each other when they come back from. I can't be around my wife because every time my kid gives up a goal, she has to break it down like the last 30 seconds, whether it was a good goal, bad goal, what are you going to done? I'm like, no. I can't do that.
I like this.
I can't do that.
Ty in Canada says, one, Arnie will do lunch in Burlington.
Okay.
Two, he says, I'm a Maple Leafs, Lions, and Tigers fan. I'm miserable 360 days a year.
Is that worse than my teams? Islanders, Dolphins, Mets. That's pretty close. It's pretty damn close. I'm the Knicks, too. But
being a Mariners fan, you're upset from the day after Valentine's Day until October 1st. Because once spring training starts, there's injuries that are going to happen and bad news. So I would say I'm miserable for 8 months of the year.
Alec and Milton says, hell yes, it wrecks me. But being a lifelong Dolphins fan, I have learned to deal with it. Thank God for the Sox. That's Bert for Milton.
By the way, what do you think of a guy that has... I like the Cowboys I like the Patriots in football, Golden State in basketball, the Penguins in hockey.
Well, first of all, if you're a Golden State fan and you live up here, you are a bandwagon jumper. There is no such thing as a Golden State fan 10 years ago in Burlington.
But what about people that mix it up with different teams around the country,
I don't know.
I call them losers. I call them.
Yeah, but you're in a situation up here where you're not directly close to regionally, to a professional sports
team. Jumping on the bandwagon, stop it. All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next? What are we going with today?
Red Sox officially are in the playoffs. Chris Sale lasts just one inning. What do we make of both
And did
of
you
that?
See what Price said? That came out, too. I love that. I want to bring that up also. I just saw that. So we'll get to all that. That's coming up next. You're listening to 101.3 The Game.
Tonight, the greatest minds in sports are anywhere near this building. It's the Huddle, 101.3 The Game. I'm waking up.
I'm actually dying for a maple creamy shake. I really need something. Doesn't that sound good?
Where do you find one of those around
the fort? It's called the ice cream shop. Go there
the
and get
ice
yourself.
Cream shop?
Or wherever you go to get ice cream.
Rockies.
Creamies, Rockies.
Rockies is right down the road.
Yeah, I mean, come
like
on now.
Miles.
How come we have no interns? Where are all our interns?
We just had intern Isaiah in
Where
here working
he?
Hard for 3 hours.
I don't need him working hard. I need him getting us stuff. I don't care if he knows how to do radio stuff. That's not my business.
Who cares about his career?
You understand? Listen to me. I'm Belichick, okay?
Yeah, you are.
I don't have to teach him radio. I just need him to do stuff for me.
Yeah.
I could care less. He could be a disciple. Like, all of Belichick's disciples suck when they're coaching. You could suck at radio. Just get me my shake and my smoothie and my Chinese food. That's all I really need.
Yeah, you're Belichick, but much louder.
Yes.
On massive steroids.
I don't know if I'm much louder than him in practice.
I had Chinese food last night.
Where'd you go?
Jess and I went over to the Global Buffet or the Grand Buffet.
Oh, right here on the...
Yeah, the Grand Buffet over
I
on
Pearl
Street.
I love that place.
Me too. I had...
Why didn't you ask me to meet you guys?
Because I couldn't afford to.
I would have paid my own way.
I know it's a romantic date and all that, but we've decided to bring Arnie.
Well, you can eat Chinese food. We could have been there for like 3 hours.
Oh, it was great. I had
honey
chicken, General Tso's chicken and broccoli.
By the way, when are we getting a Golden Corral? Come on. Really? Let's go.
The Chick-fil-A.
Oh, my gosh. That place is decadent.
I'm waiting for the Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A is opening in Plattsburgh on October 4th.
We got to do our show there.
You know that?
Yeah. Yes, because I was in Plattsburgh the other day. They
Let's
were all
do
talking
our show
about
there.
It.
It's funny.
Have a big party. Oh, it's going to be great.
Hey.
It is.
I also wanted to announce this.
Yeah.
That Friday, I am going to be out in Middlebury doing the show. So you guys will be in studio. I'll be out at Middlebury College. Kobe Altman, Cavaliers general manager, is coming back to Middlebury College.
Nice.
So we're going to go talk with him, and he's going to join us on the show. So I'm going to be out in Middlebury. I'm going to get Kobe on with us, and you guys are going to be back here.
Are we going to ask him? We get to ask him questions or just you?
No, you do too.
Do we get to ask LeBron questions or
yes.
no? Oh, really?
How sick of that is he?
Well, I got an interesting LeBron question. I'd say, look, I know you didn't like the decision, but what about the process?
The process of LeBron leaving?
Yeah.
Like, how did it work out? Or how did
it
go?
Well, just how did you like it? Was he in touch a lot? Was he not in touch a lot? Did it bother you? Did it not bother you? Did you know he was leaving and you had no choice, any chance, anyway? Or
I think those are all fair questions.
I just wanted to know. Obviously, he didn't like the decision, but I wonder how he dealt with the process.
Is there any guy in sports who would rather not have press conferences than him right now? So how are you going to get together and win 30 games this year? Nobody cares about the Cavs all of a sudden.
I either want to ask him that or play him one-on-one. Could he beat me in a one-on-one?
Yes, considering he was a highly good scorer at Middlebury College.
So?
Is he a breathing human?
So, how old is he?
He's tall, thin, young, and far better than
you. Wait, first, I thought he was only 6 feet tall.
How tall are you?
Well, you make him sound like he's 6'6 or something like that.
But he played basketball, so you automatically have no chance.
Let me tell you something. I played basketball, too.
But yeah, last night.
It was just different in my years than it is for him. I'm sure I could have played for Middlebury if I wanted to, if I knew about Middlebury.
Kobe Altman is not even 40.
Okay.
So
he's up there.
He's not even 40.
He's up there.
So who knows how long he's been playing? Who knows if he's even picked up a basketball in 20 years?
He was also a college coach as recently as 2012.
I bet you I could beat him.
If he's 6 feet above, I mean, if he is above ground and breathing, you're not beating him.
I would love to play him in a one-on-one.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would. Yes, I would.
You couldn't beat him if
Why?
He had
he's
no arms.
Why? He's 6 feet tall.
So, that's like a team goes out and says, wow, that team is tall. We have no chance.
Who would win between him and Trimboli?
Ooh.
Now, that's a real question.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Trimboli is younger.
Yeah, that's what I figure.
I would say Trimboli.
I think I could beat Trimboli, too.
Luke in Burlington says that Vince Scully could beat you one-on-one.
Wow!
It's like about the mistake of the day.
Come on! Jeez. I can't wait for hoops tonight. All right, let's go ahead and get Bert to the Red
Reynolds
Sox.
Could beat you right now.
Oh, you see that? You didn't have that. Way too soon. Way too soon.
Is it really?
Yes.
It's been a week.
I love
it?
Bert. That was very traumatic for people.
6 days. That's not enough time.
I don't know how to transition. The Red Sox have clinched a playoff berth. They win yesterday, a come-from-behind win, as they have done frequently this season. They beat the Blue Jays. Chris Sale comes back. He throws one inning, 26 pitches, gave up a couple of base runners, including a leadoff double, had two strikeouts. Your takeaways from last night as a whole were what?
I didn't know. The one inning I wasn't too happy about. I wanted them to go a couple of innings. I don't want to hear about a pitch count.
He wasn't happy about it.
Yeah, I wanted him to go at least two innings or at least go through one rotation of the of Toronto.
Well, we knew all along it was going to be two innings or 40 pitches. That was the plan, and he threw one inning in 26.
I know what. If you're going to do 40 pitches, you might as well just do a simulated game. But bottom line is I'm okay with it. I mean, he got a little bit of work in. What does it do for you? Does it keep you sharp? I don't know. Are they going to be doing this for the rest of the time until the playoffs? Are they going to give him two innings next time and then three? Is he ever going to pitch a full game again? Does he even need to pitch a full game again? Could you imagine if he pitches a full game again and he gets stiffness again right before the playoffs? Then we're going to be sitting here talking about what kind of fools the Red Sox are. I don't even know what the right answer is.
Well, he looked fine as far as his velocity was down a little bit. Gurriel, the ball that he hit, I think he started with a 97 mile an hour. And he looked okay. And he went to the bullpen and threw another 14, 15 pitches to get it up to 40. But I can't really answer the question of whether this made sense or not until either later today or sometime tomorrow when he addresses the media or someone
when he makes a start
about how his left arm feels.
But if he makes a start later on in a couple weeks and he tells you it's stiff, then you're going to be really upset right before the playoffs.
Well, he's starting this weekend against the Mets, and he's supposed to go, I think they said, 2 to 3.
Supposed
innings?
To go three, yeah. I wouldn't say worried, but I was wondering why he only threw 26 pitches. But I felt better when I learned that he went back out to the bullpen and threw another 15. So he didn't stop because of discomfort. Alex Cora said, look, it made no sense. They were high leverage pitches. Okay, they were high intensity pitches, pitches under duress. And people think that maybe more so even than pitch count, it is about the level of stress that you are incurring on your body and on your arm and how difficult it is to get through an inning. So I'm okay with one real inning and one simulated inning down there in the bullpen. I was okay with it. I saw what I wanted to see. The velocity was there, 97 right out of the gate. Movement on the slider was there. He struck out Smoke on the slider. He struck out Devin Travis, I think, on a slider as well. So that was there. He had seven swings and misses in 26 pitches.
Are they maybe full of baloney, the Red Sox? Maybe they're just arresting him, and they don't want to come out and say that we're arresting him right before the playoffs. Maybe they don't want to say, we know what happened last year, and we don't want it to happen again. So they're coming up with this baloney? I don't know.
Yeah, but resting a guy, this is kind of extreme, wouldn't you say, if they're resting
him? Not when you're nine games up or ten games up.
But is it real? Right, but why even bother pitching him an inning? Why not just have him
just
rest
him,
have him pitch and go out there and throw 80 or 90 pitches every week and a half or 2 weeks?
I don't think that this is I don't think this is full of baloney, and they've been saying we know what happened all year, though. They've been acknowledging that. Alex Cora has said from the start, we have a plan for this guy so he is good in October.
And you're not hurt and come back and throw 97 miles an hour out of the gate, Brady.
Yeah, you could. Well, come on. I don't know exactly how I'm supposed to defend that.
Well,
but
if you're coming back, you're going to be more cautious from an injury. You're not coming back throwing.
He's still throwing bullpens. You act like it's the first time he's picked up a baseball.
I know that, but I thought
he was going to come back and throw 88 for the first time through.
We talked about it. I thought he was going to treat this like a spring training game just to keep sharp. I didn't know he was going to throw 97 mile an hour BBs.
That's what they do in spring training when their arm is good.
I think they get shelled around and then they come out and they go, I was just working on this, that, and the other. I couldn't care less if I got anybody out or something.
But his arm has been built up to midseason form. I mean, you can't have him go out there and throw any differently than what you need him to throw a month from now. This was a test. And, I mean, who knows if he passed it. I didn't like that he came out. But the fact is you want to throw him out there for the second inning and you're going to be bringing in a relief pitcher or some pitcher. Strangely, it was Brandon Workman. I think more than anything, that was the thing I didn't get. Bringing a guy you may need in the sixth or seventh or eighth inning somewhere down the line into the second inning instead of bringing Eovaldi into the second.
Which had been the plan that he was going to follow him. Sox do clinch the playoff berth. They're guaranteed at least the wild card game. We anticipate with their magic number at 9, they're going to go and win the division also. But it's their they clinch the playoff berth in the 145th game of the season, tied for the 6th fewest games needed by any team dating back to 1996. It's the 3rd consecutive playoff berth for Boston, tied for the longest such streak in franchise history, which shocks me.
That does shock me.
3 playoff berths in a row is the franchise history in a team that's been around for 100 years plus. That's the longest?
Well, yeah. Keep in mind that the only way you made the playoffs for the great majority of that was to win the American League pennant.
That's
true. That was hard to do, and they only did that 3 or 4 times. Well, if you want to go back to the teens. But, I mean, I think they won it in 46. They won it in 67. There was a long period of time.
All those 60s and 70s, though, with those great teams, you thought they'd won more.
I mean, playoff berths now aren't nearly what they used to be.
Well, we're going to talk with Buster Olney of ESPN at 5 o'clock, and we're going to ask him about these comments. Buster, no longer confident in Boston?
Wow. That when I walked out of Fenway Park the other night after we had that game in which they beat the Astros on a walk-off hit, I was more convinced than ever, and you and I touched on this a little bit on Monday, that this is not a team that can win in October because of their bullpen issues. And yet, I remember last year thinking, the Astros are done. They, you know, Ken Giles isn't getting it done. No team can win a game without a bullpen. I'm kind of torn about the Red Sox. On one hand, they've clearly been the most dominant team in baseball, leading the major leagues in so many offensive categories, and yet they have that big problem at the back end.
Wow, Buster. Look at that, huh?
I think we better talk to him really soon, don't you think?
Are we going to hammer him today or what, man? Wow.
Yeah, we'll talk to Buster at 5, and this is what I've been saying all year, that I thought the bullpen was something that needed to be addressed. And as good as Joe Kelly looked early and as good as Matt Barnes looked early, that you needed more and more pieces there. The Astros added to their bullpen going out and getting Roberto Osuna, whether we like that they got him or not,
right,
and whether we think it ethically and morally correct, they went out and added to their bullpen. The Yankees added to their bullpen all last season to get to a point where they're confident. Oakland added to their bullpen in a huge way.
Yeah, but out of all those 3 teams you mentioned, who would you rather be going into the playoffs? I still would rather be the Red Sox, would you not?
I mean, right now, I think I'd like to be Oakland. They're 54-21 in their last 75 games, and they have the best bullpen of anybody.
Yeah, but they just lost their ace for the rest of the season.
You got the starting pitching with the Red Sox, and you got the closer. So as long as you can go ahead and get there, you know.
Do I know I had the starting pitching with the Red Sox? Do I know that?
Yes.
Do I know that Sale's healthy? Do I know that Price could win in October? Yeah, do I know that Porcello's not going to give up 6 runs in 4 innings?
Absolutely not. Really, Arnie?
Well, Price won his last game against the Yankees. Porcello is your 3rd starter. And, yeah, I have to assume, well, you have to have confidence in your number one.
Yes.
And that's Chris Sale. There's nobody better in baseball. If you have no confidence in Sale, who has confidence in anybody then?
I have enormous confidence in Sale, but what I don't have confidence in him is can he go 6 or 7 good, solid innings
Yankees,
in a game one?
Yankees have confidence in their starting rotation
Absolutely
right now?
Absolutely not.
Of course not.
I amend it. I'd rather be Houston 1. Houston 2, I'd like to be number 1. Oakland is very, very hot. I still think Houston is
so you would
best.
Have Houston, Oakland, then Boston.
Nah, I'd still probably go with Boston, but Oakland, I could see them going through. They're 54-21 their last 75. I could see them going through and running through the entire thing.
I don't think anybody has a lineup like the Red Sox hitting-wise.
No, but pitching-wise, don't forget Cleveland if Trevor Bauer comes back healthy.
Which is a major, major.
I'm not worried about them at all this year.
That's a huge loss for them. That's almost like Sale. That just eliminates them, really.
Brady, what do we got coming up next?
They said what? What are Clay, Colin, and DP saying on these airwaves?
Next, you're in the huddle. 101.3, the game.
Right, you don't have to go too far. Come to Handy Cars in St. Albans. With over 300 used, you've got plenty to choose. Every used vehicle comes with a complimentary Carfax vehicle history report, 1 year of free maintenance, and most importantly, a hassle-free buying experience. We price our used cars aggressively out of the gate, so you don't have to hesitate. So come on up to Handy Cars in St. Albans for your next used car, truck, or SUV. Handy's downtown, I-89 exit 19. Handy Chevy and Handy Toyota, I-89 exit 20. Short on time, shop online at handycars.com.
Wait, what did he say? Did I hear that right? Are you sure? Let's go to the tape. It's time for They Said What? On the Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, who called on the back line? Somebody representing Trimboli? He can't call himself for crying out loud?
Bruce from Richmond called in.
And said that Trimboli will play me one-on-one?
Yes.
I'll put that on Facebook Live for the millions of people that could see me destroy that guy. Oh, I would love that. You, Rich, you come out and you film that.
You clearly have drank. You've had too much to drink or something before the show.
I feel good tonight when I go out to play ball tonight. I'm going to make a statement to show everybody I can still play.
Say Trimboli and you got together. Of course, the legendary Mike Trimboli, one of the all-time great UVM basketball players.
Easy on the word great. You throw that around
a lot. He was very, very
great. He would beat you, Arnie, if he was truly trying.
Yeah.
He'd beat you whatever to nothing.
You 100. Couldn't beat me whatever to nothing.
I beat you 20.
I made shots against you, and you're like 6'4".
I beat you 21-1. So Trimboli's significantly better than I am.
Yeah, but if we had a ref, you'd have a lot of charging calls against you.
Oh,
if you had a game to 100, what would be the spread against Trimboli? I say 98.
I would score at least 50.
Oh.
I'd score half. Especially if I was hot, too, from the three-point line.
You would never, ever get a shot.
Only with three.
You'd never. Tell me. Is the rule that after a basket is made, the team that made the basket gets the ball back?
Yes.
Yes.
So you would never touch the ball except to hand it to him after a basket.
Correct. Touch a ball when I block it in his face.
Oh, gosh, you're delusional.
They said what? Go ahead, Brady. Let's get to that. They said what?
I don't even know. Again, another thing where I don't even know how to transition.
What planet are you from?
Out of this. I mean, hey, it's like, hey, I'm just going to say ridiculous things. And then we hear.
No.
They said what?
You saw on the Tom Fertitta text line, Jake and Wilson said Arnie did block somebody's shot really bad yesterday.
Back in 97.
Somebody who was like 4'8".
That's not the point. That's not the point. It's still got
he was
block.
Only 7 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
They said what?
They said what? It's the fifth time we've played that. So can I hear something? Let's
Clay
go.
Travis today, 6 to 9 a.m., talking about one of the Patriots' biggest rivals and how he thinks they're a little more lost even than we thought they were. Ben Roethlisberger.
What's up with Ben Roethlisberger? He has started to become a guy who, let's be honest, sometimes just looks like the game has passed him by, where he goes out and he throws 3 or 4 interceptions and he takes away the team's chances from winning based on his poor decision making. That's kind of what we saw against the Browns. As much attention as the absence of Le'Veon Bell got, and as much attention as James Conner and the offensive line and everything associated with that decision received, it was Ben Roethlisberger playing awful that should make everybody nervous.
Oh, he's 100% right on that one. Ben Roethlisberger, what, three how many picks did he have?
They had 6 turnovers.
Yeah, but how many of them were the interceptions? I think it was 3 or 4. But either way, yeah, he was awful. And he's had games like that last year where he's had like 3 or 4 picks. I don't know what's going on with that guy, but he's usually not this bad.
It's hard to believe, though. It's hard to make sense of the turnovers because people have downplayed interceptions now. When you go back 10 years, it was, okay, interceptions are the devil. Now people are like, well, if you're not turning it over a little bit, you're not trying to make plays.
It's like strikeouts.
Tyrod Taylor, now I know he had a bad interception the other day, but Tyrod Taylor is very, very conservative with the ball, and people crush him for, oh, he doesn't try to make plays. Oh, he doesn't take shots downfield. Well, yeah, but he also doesn't turn it over, but people crucify him for that. Sam Darnold has a lot of picks in college, and people are like, oh, well, that's okay. Interceptions aren't what they used to be. Andrew Luck throws a lot of picks. They're like, well, you know what? You're going to throw some picks if you're taking shots, so... Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger is going to throw picks, but he's also going to make some big downfield throws. Which side of the coin do people want here?
It's a little Brett Favre-ish with him. It's all or nothing. The thing is, though, when you compare Brady and Rodgers with a guy like Roethlisberger, and let's face it, they're all going to the Hall of Fame, most likely. But Roethlisberger, when he has an off day, he really stinks up the joint. And it doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it affects the outcome of the game.
The thing that I've thought about Roethlisberger is that Roethlisberger continues to, as he gets older, a little bigger, and a little slower, and a little more injured, he starts to look less and less athletic to me. That's where I wonder. And where Roethlisberger made his mark was not so much being a dual-threat quarterback in the way that Cam Newton is.
He's evasive.
Yes, but he was evasive, he was elusive, and he had some speed to make some plays with his legs and at least get outside the pocket. I start to see that less and less as the injuries mount. He's had the foot, he's had the knee, he's had the ankle, I think. As those things mount, his ability to get outside and create or extend plays, that's not there, and that causes some other issues.
All right, what's the next one we got?
They said what?
Yep.
Let's move on to Colin Cowherd, again, who you can hear every day, noon to 3, talking about Matt Patricia and the Bill Belichick coaching tree.
And proximity to genius doesn't make you a genius. Even inside a family with the same DNA, you can have the smart daughter and the dumb son. So even DNA in the same house, same school, same parents, same blood, same everything, proximity to genius doesn't make you a genius.
So he basically, Colin's saying that just being around Belichick doesn't automatically
make you smart,
infer that you're going to be a good coach.
I married a 4.0 student in State College. What happened to me?
That has nothing to do with...
I married a genius.
Yeah, well, you know what, though? It's not like he doesn't know football, though. And he's given a head coaching job, and every one of them has turned out so bad, not just for Matt Patricia, I'm talking about for the whole Belichick tree, that you really got to say, what the hell's going on? Every one of them has struck out, and I know some of them have been bad jobs.
Don't leave out Al Groh. He had a winning record.
But other than that, it's slim pickings when it comes to the Belichick tree, no doubt about that, Brady.
People already complaining about Matt Patricia. The veterans don't like the way he's running things. They work too hard in camp. He works them too hard. Too many rules as far as what they can post on social media, etc. Do you buy that as a problem? When the veterans are complaining, saying, oh, this guy's trying to change the culture, oh, this guy is imposing too many Belichickian-type rules, do you read that in to be a major problem, or do you say, hey, this is what happens when new people go into places? They implement their systems. You better either buy in or get out.
I think it's a problem. I don't know about a major problem. I still think it's a problem with... team unity, and obviously you have to have that to win in football, and they look so stinking bad, that's going to be slim pickings when it comes to wins for them. So I think it's going to be, and it's already after the first game. You would think that, I don't hear anybody ripping John Gruden on that team. You know, I don't hear anybody ripping, some of the other...
New head coaches were 0-7 this year.
Yeah, they were horrible. Absolutely horrible. Yeah. So he's the only one getting ripped. There's something really going on down there.
I think it's important that the coach doesn't come in. I mean, you've got to get along with your coach. I think in this day and age it matters. Look, back in Vince Lombardi days, George Halas, it's my way or the highway. You will do it my way. But all the players knew that, and that's just the way it was. 40, 50, 60 years later, that's not how it is now. It's a different kind of generation, and they're a lot more sensitive to criticism, I think.
He needs to find a more modern way to implement the Belichickian system. Look, it's worked before. Bill Belichick is one. Tom Coughlin is one. Those stodgy guys who are do it my way or get out guys, they have won. But you're still talking about 20 years ago that they came in with their system. You have to find a way to modernize it and adopt it. But I hope the Lions front office has his back on this, because they hired him to come in and do these things. He was hired to bring in the Patriot way. And you know what? Belichick started out 0-4 his first year in Foxborough, and they were 0-2 in 2001. So
yeah, but unfortunately, he'll be given some time, but unfortunately, he's not going to be given a lot of time. He works for an owner that's really old, and she could, at the drop of a hat, make a change. Now, she's done that before too.
All right, one more.
They said what?
On Dan Patrick, you can hear him 9 to noon. Ray Rado, who covers the Bay Area for NBC Sports, he was talking about the 49ers and Jimmy G, and he had some interesting thoughts about the Jimmy G trade with the Patriots.
So when Garoppolo came in, they said, well, we know he's better than Blaine Gabbert, and we think we swindled Bill Belichick. So all of a sudden, Garoppolo is that guy. He's the future because he's way better than we had, and we basically, stole the Patriots' wallet to get him.
I thought that was interesting.
Well, no, nothing or shattering. We've been saying that from day one. I've been saying it from day one. So,
and what makes it even harder is that we still have no idea what the Patriots got for the Garoppolo trade. I mean, I think they traded with the Bears that pick for a fourth rounder and a next year second rounder. So
they traded like nine times at the draft.
Yes, they did.
I can't even remember who became what.
No, I think on the face of it, it's pretty safe to say they got fleeced.
All right, we'll finish out the hour. Talk show host says, I will do what if the Seahawks win the division? You'll have to hear that. That's coming up next. You're in the Huddle, 101.3 The Game.
Now 3-6 every day. The Huddle takes you home.
The Red Sox are routing the New York Yankees tonight.
On 101.3 The Game.
I was just reading my Twitter. I applaud you anytime, anywhere, any spot. You 20-21, your ball, I'll win. Pretty simple. That's from Trimboli.
What did he say?
He goes, he'll play me to 21, spot me 20, and give me the ball.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me know when. I want to be there.
Back him in. Elbow layup game. 21-0.
You literally will never touch the ball.
No, I get the ball out.
Oh, he's giving you the
ball.
He's
giving me the ball, too. Take him right to the hoop.
He will immediately block your first shot.
And, Brady, I've taken you to the hoop a lot. So if I could take you to the hoop, I could take a lot of people to the hoop.
You've taken me to the hoop. You've never taken me to the hoop. You once dribbled down near the block and then hit a fadeaway from behind the basket somehow. I wouldn't say
I don't remember it like that, but okay.
All right, so let people know when this is going to happen. I definitely want to see that. You literally will never touch the ball.
I want to tell you about this talk show host in Seattle. He was watching the Seahawks. He was upset. He's like, the Seahawks are never going to win the division. They're never going to win the division. None.
Well, they're
zero.
Not.
He goes, I'll tell you what, if they win the division, I will shave every hair on my body, and I will walk down the sidewalk in nothing but a banana hammock Speedo. I will shave every hair on my body, wear a Speedo, and walk up and down Elliott Avenue, which I'm assuming is a popular place up in Seattle. They look that bad that they have no chance of winning the division or what?
Well, they're not going to win the division because the Rams are that good. Forget if they're okay. The Rams are very good. They're my Super Bowl pick. I think the Seahawks, as I said, they're an 8-8 roster. If things go poorly, they're 6-10. If things go great, they're 10-6, neither of which would win the division.
Town Fair Tire text line, because we're getting a lot in right now. What's Derek and Middlebury writing on? I am confused. Oh, my God, these freaking millennials. Cry, cry, cry. You hurt my feelings. I bet if they won, they wouldn't be crying. What was?
The Lions.
Oh, the Lions. Oh, yeah. That was talking about the video I saw about the young man who was just screaming bloody murder.
No,
crying.
No, no. He's talking about the players not liking the way Patricia coaches.
Okay. I gotcha. Yeah, that's what he said of the next one, too. So he straightened that one out. Yeah.
James and Starks, bro. If the game goes to 50 and the over-under was 60, I'd take the under.
Wow. Frank and Crown Point, Arnie is the biggest BSer I've ever listened to.
Really?
There's nobody bigger BSer than me? Than anybody? There's a lot of BSers out there.
I don't know. You are the president of that club.
Gosh, nobody bigger than me? I'm like the gold medalist of BSers?
Well, every once in a while you'll say something so outlandish like your Trimboli thing.
Right.
You have to account
for it. But
is that
outlandish if you believe it? It's not a lie if you believe it.
Do you really believe that you could score 1 point against him?
Absolutely.
Only if he knocks it in by mistake.
Absolutely.
Trimboli, if you're listening, come and play with us today at Williston Central School.
Oh, please! Please!
I'll tweet him right now.
Bring a mouth guard.
Wow.
I can't wait to play today. I want to get a little exercise in. I got Orange Theory tomorrow morning. But you're not in my class anymore.
No, because my hours have changed.
You don't like working out with me anymore.
I try to avoid you because the sweat flies.
I know.
It's
you don't
disgusting.
Like sitting right next to me.
No, I don't.
No.
Although I will tell
no,
people.
No, I don't.
You impress me, though, man. And it kills me to ever say those words associated with you. Yes. But you absolutely are flying in that class.
Yes.
I mean, look at you. I don't know how you do it.
That's why I may start slam dunking again in basketball.
Yeah, I mean, your fitness level could get you a point against Trimboli by
itself.
I think it can.
Hour one in the books. We got a lot coming up now. We'll have the top four and four. After that, we got Field Yates. Remember, Buster Olney will drop on by. Did you hear what he said about the Red Sox? Yeah, you did. So that's got a lot of people upset there also. So plenty to get to. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3, the game.
It's the Huddle on the Champlain Valley Sports Station, 101.3, the game.
Yeah. All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3, the game. It is a busy Wednesday. Lots going on this Wednesday.
Name the artist.
Huey Lewis in the news.
Very impressive.
I love Huey Lewis. I just saw an article about him that he was really sick and he can't sing anymore or something.
Yeah, he had to
That's
cancel the shows.
Yeah, he is. I love Huey Lewis. Big fan of his.
I'm hoping it's just his voice.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's actually sick.
Oh,
sick.
Man.
So, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to look that up. But big fan of his.
Obviously.
He's been doing it for a long, long time, too.
Every
you know?
Now and then you impress me.
Yeah,
once
see,
in a
not,
great
not
while.
All that bad. Not all that bad. For crying out loud. Top Fair Tire text line if you want to get in today, 802-655-6672. Brady, let's get right at the... Well, first tell everybody what's coming up and what we're going to be doing on Sunday.
Remember, Sunday we will be out at the Burger Bar watching Patriots-Jaguars. 425 is the start. The Burger Bar is the best new place to watch football in the Champlain Valley. It's right in Colchester, next to St. Mike's, across from Fannie Allen. We will be there. We've got so many prizes with so many giveaways. Half-price appetizers, $2 Miller Lite specials. We're giving away the Miller Lite custom keg grill, the ultimate piece of tailgating equipment, the keg grill. And we've got gift cards. You want to golf. You want to go bowling. It doesn't matter. We've got it all. And $25 gift cards to the Burger Bar.
And the best part about Sunday, you go out there and watch Arnie cower in the corner in shame. As the Patriots beat the Jags.
I'm going to sit right in the middle of the Burger Bar in my inflatable New York Knicks recliner.
You have
right
one?
There. Yeah, I do. And I'm going to put it right there. And every time Jacksonville scores, I'm going to yell, touchdown Jacksonville!
See, the idea is we want people to show up for the event.
You could just do that stupid Duval thing that they
all
say.
I won't do that. Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Where every time there's a third down or just anything important, they just scream out, Duval! So irritating.
Patriot fans think it's a county or something.
Yes, it's
like
the county that Jacksonville is in. Right.
Stupidity is what it is. But Patriot fans actually think they're going to win the game. And you know what? Leonard Fournette not going to play, so that's obviously a little
disturbing. But that doesn't matter, right?
It matters a little bit, but it matters like a half a point. At least according to Vegas, it matters like a half a point to a point.
No, I understand.
They have what TJ Yeldon is going to be the running back.
Yeah, though. There's a very good chance Jacksonville wins this game. But that being said, boy, it would be sweet with all your talk. You basically just promised, i.e. guaranteed, a Jags win.
Oh, guaranteed. Yep. Absolutely. I would love to sell your car, keep the money, and put it all on Jacksonville.
You can have my car and the duct tape.
You want to read Shane in Burlington's tweet real quick?
When we talk to Field Yates at 420, ask for some fantasy clarity, who to own in the Pats' backfield, and what the heck happened to Chris Hogan. Huge fan of their podcast.
Let me clear that up right now. Stay away from every Patriot except for Brady. Okay? Is that clear?
Or Gronk?
Gronk.
Okay, and Gronk. But I'm sure Gronk is pretty much gone. Okay,
Steven Guskowski.
I would stay away from him also. How about that? For whatever reason,
how about
I have
their
no
defense
idea.
With no Fournette?
Oh, come on, stop it with their defense.
All right, here we go. Yes, top four.
Let's
four.
Go. Top four and four. Let's do it.
And don't cut off the guy before he says number four.
We've got 3 hours to cover every
Where's
day,
number four?
But here's the top stories. All you need to know in one spot. It's your top four and four on the Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
Number four.
There
number
you four.
Go. You well waited done. That time.
Number four.
You're getting patient in your old age.
Yes.
Speaking of Patriots, Jaguars, Bill Belichick addressed the media today getting ready for Jacksonville. Rob Gronkowski at the podium right now as we hit midweek. What are you most interested in as we start to break down this AFC title game rematch?
I'm most interested in to see that Patriot defense, and because Jacksonville didn't look very good offensively against the New York Giants. And remember, they had the pick six. Which was Miles Jack, the former
yep.
UCLA star.
Yep.
So they didn't have their offense going either. That's why I thought it was encouraging for the Giants. I thought they were going to pull the victory off. I want to see what that first-team Patriot defense is going to do against Jacksonville.
I want to see what first-team. You're still in preseason.
Yeah. You're right. The defense. I'm sorry.
I want to see what the offensive line is going to do to keep Tom Brady, A, upright, and B, effective. Against that great defense, the Jags. And I honestly, I'll believe it when I see it.
I'm interested in the injury concerns at running back on both teams. You mentioned Leonard Fournette in Jacksonville. What about Sony Michel? Sony Michel just told reporters, quote, I don't know if I'm going to play this week. Said he deferred to Bill Belichick on that one. For a team that's lost Jeremy Hill, look, you know I love Rex Burkhead, but you know I also love a stable of running backs in New England. I don't think Burkhead is good enough to carry the ball 20 times against Jacksonville. Burkhead, James White, and I want to see Sony Michel in there. Also, the Pats' ability to block out the noise. I trust that they will be able to block out Jacksonville trash talk until Sunday. I wonder when the game happens itself, if anybody lets the motions get the best of them, will we see any unnecessary roughness penalties, any retaliation penalties? We saw Gronk against Tre'Davious White last year in Buffalo. They got under his skin in Buffalo. Well, Jalen Ramsey and company tried to do the same thing on Sunday. I'm interested in that. The top four at four on the Huddle.
Number three.
Tom E. Curran, Patriots insider from NBC Sports Boston, says today on WEEI that if Tom Brady plays past his 2019 contract, it won't be for the Patriots, Arnie.
Wow. Wow.
Who's throw been it saying against that for the wall, baby. See what sticks.
What if you just throw it against the wall
That's
and see
all
what
they
sticks?
Do.
What, did he give the reason why exactly? Or
I think he said, I mean, I have the clip. Hold on.
Yeah, let me hear how he puts it, what context he puts it in. Is he saying because they don't want to pay him? Is he not good enough? I want to hear what kind of context he puts it in.
Let's see. This is with, let's see. I got to get it back up. This is with Dale and Holly. Dale and Holly over on WEI. But Don't worry, it froze real quick. I'll get it back.
Right. Glenn in Moncton, by the way, says, wow, you have an inflatable Knicks chair. Does it deflate as soon as the basketball season starts?
Yes, pretty much.
Yes, it does.
Nice.
So what? So what if it does?
You win text
yeah.
of the day.
I don't know why he said that, if it was a contract situation or they're going to not be able to afford him the money or anything like that. That is kind of a hot sports take, because I always thought that Tom Brady was now going to finish his career with the New England Patriots. Yeah. Could you imagine how Patriot fans are going to feel when Tom Brady comes back into Foxborough wearing like a Giants uniform or something?
You knocked my socks off when you said that you think that 2019 is going to be the last year for Tom Brady, either in the league or with the Patriots. I should have asked you, is that more your opinion or is that sort of sourced out?
Combination of both. I just don't think he's playing past 2019. And I do think that the two sides, while Brady would have liked to have realized more money than the incentive-laden contract, I don't think that either side is right now agitating for extending past 2019.
Wow.
I mean, am I legitimately worried about two more full years of Tom Brady? No. No, I mean, that sounds about right.
I think we'll see really how serious this is when we come around to draft time again next year, okay? Yeah. If the Patriots believe that they don't want Tom Brady past 2019, they will make a move for a quarterback of the future. They didn't make that move this year. It became apparent that they trusted Tom Brady to be here for the foreseeable future. This year and next year would be the foreseeable future. I'll be much more concerned about this once we get to the draft and what the Patriots' rumors are and what they actually do.
I just hope Brady lets the front office know well in advance so they can set it up, and I suspect he will. They've been very good to each other.
It sounds like they're the ones that won't want him. And where would he end up? Where would he play if he left New England?
That I don't think is going to happen.
Well, there's plenty of teams that are going to need a quarterback. There always are. I could see if Bill Belichick kicked Tom Brady to the curb, him wanting to go somewhere else to spite the Patriots. But I don't know that I see him spiting Robert Kraft.
And Dolphins.
And I also don't see him leaving because he's going to be offered a massive amount of money. When has money ever really mattered to Tom Brady?
I could see him wanting to face the Patriots, come back, play for the Dolphins, win the Super Bowl.
Yes, I could. I mean, I could
really?
See him spite.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could see him trying to spite the Patriots if they kick him to the curb. I don't know that I see him trying to spite Robert Kraft, though.
Yeah.
And I don't believe he's going to go to a bad team just to play the Patriots. I don't believe that either.
But as far as panicking about beyond 2019, that's about what I figure it's going to be.
I'm going to order a Brady Dolphin jersey. Wear it around town here. How about that?
It probably already exists somewhere.
You're in the huddle with the top 4-4.
Number two.
The Red Sox have clinched a playoff berth. They win yesterday, beating the Blue Jays 7-2. Chris Sale threw one inning in his return, one instead of two, 26 pitches instead of 40. Were you worried when he only threw one inning?
No, I'm not. No, I wasn't worried that he came out, and I wasn't worried that he only threw one inning, but we kind of figured out right before the game started that's what it was going to go. I would have liked him to go two or three innings, and I'm a little worried about what it's going to be down the stretch, but I think he's okay. I don't think there's any problem. Otherwise, you wouldn't be having him out there for even an inning, so I think he'll be just fine.
Well, this is babying him back in a big way. I mean, I was actually worried. I was like, all right, why in the world is he only pitching one? He's still got... I mean, last time he started and ended up getting hurt again, they said he was going to go 80 pitches or whatever, and he ended up throwing 60 or whatever it was. And so I was worried, and then he was banged up. But when he comes out after one inning, and granted it was a tricky inning, he had to do some high leverage pitches, as they put it, but I was worried about it. But then I saw him in the bullpen and throwing hard, and he didn't look very happy about having to be out there, but I sort of understood it. You didn't want to have to bring in a new pitcher halfway through the second inning.
I saw exactly what I wanted to see yesterday. I know it wasn't the quantity of pitches that we wanted, but as you said, he went out to the bullpen. He did get to his 40 pitches. They just weren't all in full game action. He threw 97 miles an hour at the start. He had confidence in his slider. He threw it with conviction. He got a couple of swings and misses on it. He had 7 swings and misses in total. The stuff was there. The velocity was there. The ability to get out of trouble was there. The movement was there. The only thing that I was upset about was that he didn't get to that 40 pitches, but he did get it in the bullpen. All in all, got to be encouraged.
Let's face it, whether or not last night was a success will be determined by the news either later today or tomorrow as to how he feels.
Absolutely. He's scheduled to pitch on Sunday against the Mets. Game 2 against the Blue Jays is tonight. We have the coverage for you at 6:25 here on 101.3 The Game. The top 4-4.
Number one.
Dez Bryant was hanging out with Jerry Jones last night at a Beyonce and Jay-Z concert at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, and reportedly was telling people around him he's probably going to New England. Are you actually believing this?
When they've picked him up over the other 3 or 4 they've already signed recently?
Yes.
Some they kept, some they cut. I think it was more than 4, actually. What are they waiting for? What's going on? Are they waiting for a loss? Do they want to go ahead and get a prorated so they get a deal on this? What are they waiting for to get this guy?
I have no idea, but don't you sort of have the process start with by bringing him in? I know he came into Foxborough a couple weeks ago, but don't you have to have a formal meeting to get the ball rolling on something like this first? I mean, I agree with Arnie. What are they waiting for? Let's go.
Well, I think I'm with you when you said about being prorated. I think that if they're going to sign him, they're going to try to sign him later in the year so that he doesn't command as much money. He'll be in peak physical condition. His monetary demands might have come down by then, and he just wants to try to latch on to win a Super Bowl. You're right. If they wanted him that bad, they would have signed him over Benny Fowler and Corey Coleman.
And so, whoever else they bought in. Yeah.
So I'm believing that this is still a reality potentially later in the season, and I also believe Dez saying, look, I only want to play for New England at this point. I believe that that could be true, too. So if I'm going anywhere, yeah, I'm going to New England, but I don't believe we're at a point where this is actually close yet.
All right, the top four at four. Can we add a fifth one? One that's a small headline.
Number one.
A. Number one A.
Number one A. Well, it's actually number five.
Number one,
it should be
A.
Number five. A Russell Westbrook underwent arthroscopic surgery. He's going to miss the entire preseason and the beginning of the regular season in the NBA.
That's kind of big.
Well, God, what? It's arthroscopic surgery? The guy's going to miss all of the preseason and the beginning of the regular season?
When is the...
The regular season doesn't start until October 16th.
That's actually really big news. Did that just come down?
About 20 minutes ago.
Wow.
Patriots injury report also just came out. Yeah. Rex Burkhead did not participate. Concussion. Oh. Limited participation. Sony Michel.
Wow.
This is going to go on all season.
Wow.
For the Jaguars, Leonard Fournette did not participate. Limited participation. They're starting tight end Austin Seferian Jenkins, Telvin Smith at linebacker, and those are the people of note.
All right. Some injuries out there.
Your boy's not going to play. He's done. Stick a fork in him.
So why are you gloating about this? Sony Michel and Rex Burkhead don't play. All you're doing is getting closer to them losing.
Hey, believe me, I don't want that to happen. I just chuckle at your demise.
Well, and Trimboli says he's in New Hampshire, but next Wednesday.
Yeah, of course. All of a sudden he's in New Hampshire.
Why would anyone be in New Hampshire?
Why would you say you're in Alaska then?
Next Wednesday he says he's coming to Williston Central School.
Oh, my gosh. He will terrorize that league.
I'm looking forward to that. We'll do Facebook Live on that
He
one.
Might score 100 points.
We'll do Facebook Live
How
on that.
How many did he score in the Y League against you? 54?
I wasn't playing in that game.
Uh-huh.
That was Brady.
He would have had 57 if you were there.
That was Brady.
What did he have, 54?
He had, like, 54.
If I had knee surgery like Westbrook, I'd still feel good. That is big news about Westbrook, man.
It is. It's huge news.
Now, why is he going to be out so long? They say if they do clear him in 4 weeks, maybe he could start the season. But the season's right upon us. What is it? Today? September 12th.
The season begins in like a month. Yeah. I can't believe
it. So the camps, when's the preseason? They've got to be going to camp now.
And camp soon.
And when did they discover this injury?
Yeah.
Why now?
You would have done it the whole summer.
Has he been? I assume he's been playing all summer.
I have no idea.
The teams are going to be together. Gordon Hayward has a press conference tomorrow to update us on his health.
Wow.
Man, let's get the Celtics season started. Jeez. I'm fired up for that.
All right, Field Yates, he's coming up next. We got a lot to ask Field, so stick around for that. You're in the huddle, 101.3, the game.
They love talking sports.
There's a shot.
Though in fairness, they just love to talk. The Huddle, 101.3, the game.
I'm just writing down my fantasy football questions for Field because I got a dilemma at quarterback with Cam Newton and Jimmy Garoppolo. So I'm not sure which one. Yeah.
San Francisco's got Detroit at home?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Boy, I'd jump on that.
I think Cam's at Atlanta.
Cam's so valuable because of that running ability.
I know that, but Jimmy G against the Lions, I'm good for two touchdowns against the Lions. I think I could throw for two touchdowns against them.
Just like you could beat Trimboli in basketball. Yeah.
It's the Lions, Rich. Did you see the game against the Jets? Literally, you got a 20-year-old kid that threw touchdowns against them.
I could barely stand it.
Oh, jeez. Tom Fertitta, text line 802-655-6672.
What about the possibility they get so far ahead that they just hand the ball off?
If you get far ahead, you've done it by throwing for passes and touchdowns, I'm guessing. So, matter of fact, let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, it's our ESPN NFL insider. It's Field Yates. How you doing, Field?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. What was some of your best storylines from week one? Yeah, you had to have loved Sam Darnold. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, certainly Sam Darnold making his early mark was one of the notable storylines. You know, I thought the brilliance of Brian Fitzpatrick, which sort of came out of nowhere, was one of the notable storylines. You know, a nearly 7 hour game that took place between the Dolphins and the Titans was one of the storylines. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers and his brilliance on Sunday night was just unbelievable.
Ooh, that was great.
Phil, did you hear the rumor? I guess Dez and Jerry got together for the Beyonce concert yesterday and is telling people he's going to the Patriots. Could that even be a fit as you see it?
I didn't know anything about what he said about. I saw the picture. Were you guys being funny, or did he actually say that?
No, he was out and about and talking to some of his friends, saying, "I'm probably going to New England."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Didn't hear that. Not sure what to make of it, to be honest. I think it's probably one of those where, you know, what he wants might not be what actually comes to fruition. But for now, interesting that Dez continues to trumpet the idea of getting himself into England for a visit.
Well, Field, how about a wide receiver the Patriots did actually sign? The signing of Corey Coleman this week is an interesting one. He's been cut from Cleveland, traded from Cleveland and cut from Buffalo. Am I supposed to believe he can make a real difference in New England?
Yeah, I'm not going to go that far yet. I mean, listen, by proxy, we always think that when a player shows up to New England, they have a chance, right? I mean, when Eric Decker signed, I had someone asking me, how many touchdowns this year? You know, 8 or 10. I'm thinking to myself, well, let's see if he makes the team first, right?
Right.
He ended up retiring before that ever came to be. You know, the team has obviously resurrected careers probably as well or better than anybody else in the NFL. And, you know, with Corey Coleman, let's just start here. He's got speed. Speed and the ability to catch the football. Now, catching it more consistently, understanding the offense and nuances and things like that are a different story. You know, you don't go 15th overall without some raw, natural, physical skills. So along those lines, I'm interested in Corey Coleman. The Patriots are basically getting him for free. I mean, he signed a one-year deal, I imagine, probably just for the minimum salary. And for them, if you cut him, you don't owe him anything other than what you paid him week by week. And, you know, if he plays well and develops, you may say to yourself, all right, we've got the inside track to keep him around. So I look at it as a low risk. And I don't know if it's a high reward move, but I think probably a low risk, medium reward move.
Phil, let's get to the Patriots and Texans in the first week. Patriots win 27-20. Your thoughts on that? Because, look, obviously Tom Brady still has it, but I was really disappointed in Deshaun Watson. I don't know if I should give the Patriots defense credit. Or really, I seem to be anti-Houston after the way they looked in that game.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm going to be anti-Houston for long because I think there's a chance that Deshaun Watson turns things around quickly. But I will say, in preparing for our podcast on Thursday, one of the notes that I sort of passed along was whether or not they could, whether or not Houston will eventually Deshaun Watson will knock off the rust, because it was pretty clear it's not entirely off, right? I mean, he obviously missed much of last year, and he didn't play particularly well in week one. I tend to think he'll eventually make his way back. The other side of the story is I don't want to ignore how well the Patriots front seven played, specifically in terms of generating pressure, which is not easy when you have a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, because you don't want to bring too much pressure with extra rushers, knowing he could burn you for a long run. At the same time, the Patriots found a lot of ways to get to Deshaun Watson, and that was not an area of strength for them last season.
Field, when you look at this upcoming meeting with the Jags, despite the fact that Arnie is guaranteeing a Jacksonville win, that's just what he does as the local insider. What's the biggest thing you're watching for this Sunday afternoon?
That's a good question. I would say probably the Patriots' ability to get separation and man coverage down the field. That's really how you have to be able to beat Jacksonville, because, you know, I don't know if you guys saw the clip that has gone around a little bit this morning, or this afternoon, I think I saw it. It might be one of those, you know, game rewinds or sound effects type features. The Texans talking about how, you know, Tom Brady gets the ball out so fast. But the only way you can get the football out fast is not just if you have the right play design, but also if you have players that are getting open. And some of that's schematic, some of that is how the defense is playing you, but some of that is just ability to win in man coverage as well. You know Jacksonville's going to, if given time, get to Tom Brady, because they get to every single quarterback. That's just how good they are up front. But they also have to find a way to be better or sorry, be as good as they always are in the back end, in the secondary, because, you know, with them, that defense is not afraid to put their best against your best and challenge you. So that, to me, is one of the storylines to keep an eye on.
Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider, joining us here on The Huddle, all thanks to the Auto Saver Max Group pre-owned superstore on Shelburne Road in South Burlington. Field, I believe that the Patriots won't engage in any pregame trash talk with Jacksonville, but do you worry once we get between the lines that the game's going to get chippy? I just remember Gronk and Tre'Davious White last year in Buffalo. I'm wondering if Gronk can control himself.
Yeah, I mean, if Gronk had a history of doing that, but when else have you seen Gronk lose his cool on a football field? He was frustrated at the time, and no one's making an excuse for him, but this would be one thing if it was a player that's done that on multiple occasions, but I can't think of any other time that Gronk or a current Patriots player has lost their cool in a major way on the field that gives me any sort of evidence to suggest that they're going to have that issue this weekend. Jalen Ramsey said what he said, and the Jaguars are a confident group that is not afraid to speak their mind, but I don't know the Patriots are going to take the bait. I don't know that the Jaguars are really going to bait them either. I think that, you know, there are times where that dynamic is real. I mean, we saw it with Josh Norman and Odell Beckham Jr. a couple of years ago when pregame trash talk led to in-game fighting. I think a lot of that, though, is overblown, because it's not like when teams don't trash talk each other during the week that they get to the field on Sundays and play patty cake during the game. I mean, there's always a lot of stuff said between enemy lines. So I think that push comes to shove, this will be one of those games that we talk a lot more about what happens on the field, not what happens in terms of the back and forth between players.
Field, the injury reports just came out for both teams. Running back, a big storyline. Leonard Fournette did not practice. Sony Michel, limited participant, I believe. Do we know anything? Do we have any sense of if you think those guys are going to play any role on Sunday?
Well, the Jaguars have said that even if Leonard Fournette does not play, does not practice throughout the week, he could still play on Sunday. This is nothing more than a hunch, but, you know, keep in mind how diplomatic they were last year. I should say how, I guess the word I'm looking for is sort of slow playing things, right? I mean, the Jaguars were not going to bring Leonard Fournette back last year until he was 100%. They kind of have this global view of the season. And I'm not saying that they won't necessarily get Leonard Fournette back on the field this week. But I think they're willing to be as patient as need be. So if he doesn't play on Sunday, I wouldn't necessarily be stunned. And for the Patriots, I think you need to keep an eye on Rex Burkhead, who did not practice on Wednesday as well. Whether or not he plays on Sunday, you know, he's a big-time part of their offense. And with Sony Michel banged up, perhaps some of the writing was on the wall when the team did sign Kenyon Barner, which might have been tied to Jeremy Hill's injury or perhaps their need to beef up their punt return spots. But keep an eye on what happens with the Patriots running backs this week.
Field, let's get to my New York Giants. You encouraged or discouraged about what happened on Sunday? I was bummed out. I thought they were going to pull it out. Eli's making me crazy. I love Saquon Barkley, but 68 of the 106 came on one carry. You encouraged by what you saw, or you got warnings flags there?
Somewhere in between. You know, there are a few teams I was, you know, I got my antenna up on, but a lot of the NFL teams after 1 week, I don't make too many wholesale predictions. But, you know, clearly Saquon Barkley was a bright spot, and I get it, you know, 68 of the 106, as you said, coming that long run.
Right.
But still, I mean, that you take away a player's long run in any game, and all of a sudden the stat line is going to be looking quite a bit different.
Right.
But Odell Beckham Jr., 11 for 111, which I think some of that was also by design, right? I mean, the Jaguars clearly were not going to let anybody get behind them in week one. They just sort of let Odell Beckham Jr. turn through the yardage. You know, I thought the Giants were fine. I think that they're a team that I still think has somewhere between 6 and 9 wins in them this year. If things break right, it's 9. If things break wrong, it's closer to 6. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't think that really this season is a is one where the Giants needed to get, like, I don't, you know, there are teams this offseason that I think said, all right, we're going, for lack of a better term, all in, right? The Rams are all in this year. I don't think the Giants are all in this year. I mean, they want to win every game, obviously, but I don't think it's part of the trajectory that if they don't win this year, all of a sudden they have to sort of reshuffle the deck and decide what plan they want to get to.
And, of course, they head to Dallas this week, both teams 0-1. Cowboys trending down, that's what we're hearing. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I'm interested in the Cowboys, and, you know, I just said that there aren't a ton of teams that I'm super nervous about after week one, but the Cowboys will be one of them, right? Because if I asked you what the Cowboys' identity was on offense right now? Because they don't have a, I mean, it's been a long time since they've had an identity on defense. What would it be? Right? If you tell me it's the passing game, you're lying. If you tell me it's the running game, well, the running game wasn't particularly effective. You know, Zeke Elliott managed touchdown and I think, you know, almost 4.5 yards of carry in that game. But still, the Cowboys rushed for less than 100 yards total as a team, and that offensive line isn't what it used to be. It really isn't. Not only has it been banged up, but some of the guys that were once considered really good players just aren't playing at that level right now. And it isn't to say they can't get back there, but Dak Prescott was sacked 6 times in week one. I'm not sure he's ever been sacked that much in a single game. So this Cowboys team is one that I'm certainly nervous about.
Field, how much did the Giants miss Olivier Vernon in that pass rush?
Yeah, they missed him quite a bit. I mean, clearly he's by far their best pass rusher in terms of natural ability to get after the quarterback. It sounds like he's got a chance to play this week. He's a really, you know, he's an underrated player, I think. I know he's paid a ton of money, and people always latch onto contracts. But I think he's one of those guys that might even be a little bit underappreciated. They're going to, you know, certainly need to find ways to manufacture some pressure until he gets back. If that's this week, though, you know, this game against Dallas would be one where he could return and absolutely cause some havoc against an offensive line that I just said is not sort of the one we're accustomed to seeing it be.
Field Yates, ESPN NFL Insider, thanks to Autosaver Max, the pre-owned superstore, Shelburne Road, South Burlington, with us this time every week here on the Huddle. Field, let's get to rapid fire. Shane in Burlington wants to know, what happened to Chris Hogan this week, and are you buying him still fantasy-wise?
Yeah.
Well, I remember last year he had one catch in week one, and then from weeks 2 to 5, he was the third best fantasy football wide receiver. Not too worried about Chris Hogan. I think it's one of those where, you know, even making this up, you know, even LeBron goes for 13 points every once in a while, right? Not that Chris Hogan's close to LeBron, but, you know, players have less production than you would normally expect out of them, even the very, very best on occasion.
My quarterback situation, because I got a very good team, Field, so that makes it that much tougher. Do I go with Jimmy Garoppolo or Cam Newton at quarterback this week?
I've got Cam Newton ranked higher, though I'm a little bit nervous. I'm not going to lie to you, because Cam's offensive line is completely in shambles. Greg Olsen is out this week. So if you want to go with Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm certainly not going to begrudge you.
Right.
I've got Cam ranked a little bit higher because he's Cam Newton. He's got such a high floor because of his rushing ability, as we saw again last week. I've got him number one in my quarterback rankings this week, but ooh, I don't think you're crazy for Jimmy Garoppolo. Obviously, the matchup looks like a pretty good one against a pretty bad Lions defense, at least in week one.
Yeah, for sure.
Field, if Aaron Rodgers stays questionable right up until game time Sunday, should I fall for the Ryan Fitzpatrick trick? He's sitting out there on waiver wires.
There's a rule. If Aaron Rodgers is, listen, I think here's the good news. You're going to have clarity on that one. You know, you're not going to have to wait until game time on Sunday. I think the game might be, I don't know what time the game is on Sunday, but, you know, here's what I would say. The good news is, oh, it's a 1 o'clock game, yep. So you're fine. You're fine. You don't have to worry about it. Play Aaron Rodgers. If he plays, you're playing him, and I think he's playing.
Yeah. Okay, but that being said, should you fall for the Ryan Fitzpatrick trick there on the waiver wires?
Well, I mean, listen, there are a couple of quarterbacks that normally you're starting. You might say to yourself, like, oh, man, like, the idea of playing this quarterback against that defense this in particular week might not be that great. Let's say you're nervous about, I'm just making this up here, Russell Wilson against Chicago. Well, then maybe you're saying to yourself, like, all right, then I will start a Ryan Fitzpatrick. But it's not like Fitzpatrick has a particularly good matchup because, as we know, guys, you know, that Eagles defense is no joke, even going on the road to Tampa Bay.
All right, sure. Field, last two. Are the Jets now contenders with the Patriots in the AFC East? Are we buying the Jets?
I don't know about contenders in the AFC East, but you certainly have to buy the plan they laid this offseason was pretty solid. And it's never a bad thing to go big at quarterback. What I mean by that is make a lot of good, smart investments in the position. And to me, that was one of the most impressive performances of the week.
Are the Ravens really a top five team in the league? I can't get over the idea that Joe Flacco can't throw more than 6 yards in front of them.
Yeah.
But they win 47-3. Are they all of a sudden now a team to really contend in the AFC also?
Man, top five feels like a big, big, big leap for me. I mean, I think they're going to be a solid team. I think they could be, you know, a 9 or 10 or 11 win team this year. But, you know, guys, and some of this is by design. It's part of the process. But, you know, I think the Bills are, you know, pretty clearly a top contender to be in the top three picks next year. It's going to be a long, long, long year up there in Buffalo.
All right. Field, you're the best, my friend. Enjoy the games this weekend, and I can't wait to speak to you next week.
Right back to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Take care, Phil Yates. Everybody, our ESPN NFL Insider brought to you by Autosaver Max.
Yes, so. That is the pre-owned superstore. Shelburne Road, South Burlington. Save thousands on hundreds of newer model vehicles, all under warranty with 3 years of maintenance included. Thanks to Autosaver Max for helping us bring on Phil Yates every week.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Jimmy Garoppolo. He said he had Cam Newton rated number one this week, though.
I thought he said number four.
Oh, okay. I thought he said number one. I'm like, geez, that's crazy. I may go with Jimmy Garoppolo this time.
No, but he's right. I don't even have a quarterback to back up Aaron Rodgers. I might want to change that, I suppose, just in case. But So it's interesting. He says the 1 o'clock game is the easier to project whether they're going to play or not.
Well, because you know early whether the guy's going to play, leaving you waiver options for the 4:25 game to go and grab.
Okay.
I'll trade you one of my quarterbacks. But you have nothing I want, probably.
He had the highest point total in the league last week.
Did you really?
Yeah,
I thought Jay
me.
Did. I thought
yes.
Jay had it.
Think before you speak.
Wow. And you weren't even there. You just hit it on the computer picture
what
team.
What can I say? When you got it, you got it.
All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
When you got it, you got it.
I just
coming up next,
attention.
Tom E. Curran says Tom Brady, if he plays past 2019, it won't be in New England. What do we think about that?
All right, we'll get to that next year. In the Huddle, 101.3 The Game.
Clay Travis.
Thursday, Outkick the coverage. NFL Week 2 is kicking off.
IT.com. Now with an extra hour, and you ought to hear him bitch about working a whole three-hour day. The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
Show just flying by, almost 2 hours in the books. Power Hour going to be coming up next. We'll start it off with Buster Olney, our ESPN MLB insider. We're about 5 minutes away from that. Shaden Burlington says Clemson's backup quarterback Trevor Lawrence will be a franchise quarterback, though he's a few years down the road. So I did not know that.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. But what the problem is, like when Chip Kelly comes in, they're not going to have pro style quarterbacks. They're going to be running style quarterbacks. Khalil Tate, who hasn't even run yet this year. You know, he's not a pro-style quarterback from Arizona. There's not too many. But, again, I guess they run in cycles. This last draft, there was a bunch of them. So we'll see if they end up getting one. All right, Brady, what's going on now with the poll results?
Yeah, so we had our Facebook question of the day. It's over on our Facebook page, 101.3 The Game. Are you someone who lets sports affect your overall happiness on a day-to-day level? We were talking about this. Are we people that get so worked up in sports that it affects our attitude for a day? 59% of people say no.
That's good.
Say that sports does not affect their day-to-day happiness. I totally disagree.
Yeah, I'm in the minority.
You think they're lying?
Yeah. Sports absolutely ruins my mood.
Yeah, and it's terrible, too. I keep telling myself to, as I get older, to stop being like that, but it absolutely does. It really does. I mean, not so much, like the Red Sox, when they lose, I'm pissy for like a half an hour, and then it goes away because you know they're playing the next day. Patriots, it just look, you know, clear the way. Look out.
And what if the Red Sox lose in the playoffs? How long does it take you to get over it?
It's about the same. Because that's by then the Bruins season has started and I'm okay.
It depends how you lose also.
Oh, it absolutely matters.
I mean, I'm sure you're not over the Bill Buckner.
No, I'm way over it. I'm three World Series titles over it, aren't
I? I'm sure you're not. I'm sure you're not.
It wasn't so much Buckner I'm angry. Well, I've talked about this, but I'm more angry at Calvin Schiraldi and people like
that.
Are you really over,
you know, just because if you date a girl when you're young and she gets away, just because you marry three other girls and get divorced doesn't mean you don't think about the one that got away, Rich.
Wow. Non-applicable situation.
Just because you got other World Series doesn't mean you're not, missed the one that got away.
No,
you know?
But I think people agree for the most part that when the Red Sox exercised that demon, I think that solved a lot of problems.
Mike and Swan says, as bad as it sounds, fantasy sports affects his mood even more.
Yeah.
I know people like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's because a lot of people have real money on the line there.
Exactly.
So they're directly impacted.
Exactly.
My fantasy team, of which I've got money on, went 0-8 so far in the early game. The stupid Reds-Dodgers game, I had two players hitting cleanup and went 0-8.
So there it is. See, now he's calling something stupid. So it's coming out.
The Reds and Dodgers might derail my fantasy baseball season. Really?
But I, Brady, are both in the minority on this. I'm a little surprised at this, but maybe we're just kind of lunatics about this. I mean, I always make fun of the yahoos that wear like other grown men's shirts with their names on their back. But, you know, at the same time, I'm also that guy who's throwing things against the wall.
Yeah,
when the Patriots
are
losing.
You're that guy. Yep,
we are at Yep, 125 votes in. It's been up for about an hour and a half. Jeez. 125 votes in. 59% of people say no, sports does not affect their overall happiness on a day-to-day.
If I lose to Arizona State, I get it's a little bit more crabby than if I lose to another team. That hurts a little bit more. I let that one.
Oh, it absolutely matters who the team is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when the Sox lose to the Yankees, it hurts a little.
By the way, Andy and Jericho said, I'd like to hear what the listeners who want Brady to fall to earth would say if they found out that Brady was going to his team. Ooh, we're getting Brady the GOAT.
It's not happening. It's not going to happen. He's going to retire a Patriot.
I'd love him with Miami. How great would that be? Best thing that ever happened.
We were talking about this during the break. There's a lot of Dolphins. You're not the only one, Arnie. There's a lot of Dolphins fans around here. We hear from them. Maybe it's just a coincidence, but we hear from them all the time.
Shane in Burlington, Arnie, does your wife ever just punch you for saying something ridiculous you said on the air?
Wow, you'd be black and blue your
whole
life.
No. She does say I say some stupid things, but nothing that stupid. Nothing that bad.
She takes it to other extremes.
Exactly. 2 hours are in the books. We got the Power Hour coming up next. We'll start it off with Buster Olney. That starts us off after Brady tells us what's trending out there. That's coming up now. You're in the huddle, 101.3, the game.
Dan Patrick and Colin Cowherd, weekdays 9 to 3 on WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh, 101.3, the game. The game. Sports trending now.
The Red Sox are back in the playoffs officially. For the third consecutive year, the Sox have clinched a berth in October. Baseball, they beat the Blue Jays yesterday. Chris Sale throws one inning in his return to the mound. We'll talk about all of that with Buster Olney momentarily. Coverage of Game 2 of the series starts tonight, 6:25, right here on your home for Red Sox baseball, 101.3 the game. The Patriots injury report is out for Week 2 against Jacksonville. Rex Burkhead did not practice. Concussion issues. Limited participation for running back Sony Michel on the Jaguars side. Leonard Fournette did not participate as well. We spoke with ESPN NFL insider Field Yates about all the injury situations. You can check it out online at 1013thegame.com. Bill Belichick said his team knows when the game starts. He's focusing on not getting into a war of words with the aggressive and talkative Jaguars team. Yankees take the field tonight in Minnesota against the Twins. Luis Severino is on the mound for the Bronx Bombers. They are continuing to hold a lead over the A's in the American League wildcard chase for that number one spot. Remember, Sunday we're watching football out at the Burger Bar in Colchester. We'll be there 4:25 for Patriots-Jags. Half-price appetizers, $2 Miller Lite specials. We're giving away a Miller Lite custom keg grill. The best new place to watch football is the Burger Bar in Colchester. Hour 3 of the huddle is now 101.3 The Game and 1013thegame.com.
This is 101.3 The Game. The huddle is back, and the kitchen is now a mess. 101.3, the game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3, the game. It is a Wednesday power hour of the show, hour 3. And, of course, we'll take you to 6 o'clock. Then we'll throw it over to Fox, and then they'll come back at about 6:25 with the pregame show. The Blue Jays in town, game 2.
Yep.
Of the three-game set.
There. That's right. Then the Mets come in for the weekend.
My New York Mets.
That's right.
My New York Mets.
Playing for absolutely nothing.
They offered me Mets Red Sox tickets.
Really?
I'm like, really? Do I really want to go down for Mets Red Sox? Come on now. I got college football. I got NFL. I can't go. I got too much going on. I can't go waste my time watching the Mets.
No, I've got to go to a concert both days this weekend.
Get out of here.
No, it's the Grace Potter.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You were excited about
Saturday
that.
Saturday and Sunday,
Brown,
baby.
Right?
All day and all night.
Wow.
Boy, is my liver going to be hurting Monday morning.
How are you going to watch all the football? You better get back for the Patriot game.
This is going to be very tricky.
Wow.
Yeah, because late in Sunday afternoon, the game doesn't even start till 4:30. That's going to, well, I'll bring my phone. I'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah, you better do that. Unbelievable. You have a busy, busy weekend. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, it's our ESPN MLB insider. It's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Oh, we were talking behind your back a little bit when we heard your podcast saying that you're not confident about the Red Sox going into the playoffs, Buster.
No, and I was just mentioning the bullpen, and, you know, we had them on Sunday Night Baseball against the Houston Astros. Even after they won that game, you're like, oh, boy, you wonder how they're going to piece together the 6th and 7th and 8th inning in the postseason. But I also said, and I hope you mentioned this, that I felt the same way about the Houston Astros as last year's American League Championship Series is playing out, where you're looking at the group and you're like, boy, how is A.J. Hinch going to navigate his way through? Well, guess what? He did. And Alex Cora was sitting right next to him as he did that. So it'll be very interesting to see how this comes together as we get closer. Heroes can certainly emerge right now on paper. I'd have to say among the, you know, the 5-6 teams in the American League picture at this point, I kind of look at the Red Sox as having maybe the 5th or 6th best bullpen. That's a concern.
Ooh.
Well, before we get back to, you know, baseball and things like that, your Vikings looked pretty darn good last Sunday. You printing your Super Bowl tickets?
I'm a Vikings fan. You can answer that question. Of course I'm not. I mean, that's, being a Vikings fan is worse than being a Seattle Mariners fan.
Wow.
I've never seen them cross the finish line. Wow. So, no, I'm not printing that. I would say this. They're a pretty darn deep team, and yeah, I hope that they're not crushed by injuries, and I hope the offensive line holds up.
Well, Buster, I guess that goes into what we've been talking about all day. We've got a poll up on our Facebook page, and we're asking people, are you a person who lets sports affect your overall day-to-day happiness? Rich and I are definitely yes. Did you ever let sports affect your day-to-day overall happiness? And if you did, when did it stop?
Boy, I can't confirm that when Reggie Jackson hit 3 home runs in the 1978 World Series against my Dodgers, that I was sitting there weeping. I can't confirm that yesterday, when I watched a documentary on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I was a huge Lakers fan, and they ran back highlights of the 1980 series against the championship, Game 6, against the Sixers, that I didn't have tears in my eyes. I can't confirm that. Yeah. And I can tell you the exact moment that it really ended was when Kirk Gibson hit the home run in the Dodgers, you know, to propel them to win the World Series in 1988. Right after that, I got a job covering sports, and that was pretty much the end of that.
Wow.
Buster,
and did you get swept? Wait a minute. Didn't they get swept in that one by Philadelphia 4-0 in the championship, or no?
You're getting the wrong year. I don't even remember. You see, I've wiped the other year, the 0-2, out of my memory bank. But that year, in spring of 1980, Kareem gets hurt in Game 5. Magic jumps center in Game 6 Kareem back in L.A.
Scores 42.
42-15-7. I got the whole box score memorized if you want to go through that line by line.
I believe you. I know it. I love it.
Buster Olney, ESPN, with us here on The Huddle, as he is every Wednesday at this time. Buster, back to baseball. Red Sox clinch at least a playoff berth last night. Chris Sale makes his return back to the rotation. Only throws one inning. What'd you see out of Sale?
Enough where you want to see more, right? And he acknowledged that after the performance. And he said, you know, he's a little rusty, he's erratic, and, you know, he threw a lot of pitches. I think, more information when I was watching him throw his bullpen session in Fenway on Saturday. Alex Cora, the next day, told us in our pregame meeting with him that he was clocked in the upper 90s in a bullpen session. So that's pretty hopeful. And to me, I mentioned the bullpen issues before. Look, like the Astros did last year, if you have great starting pitching and you can just have a little bit of help in the bullpen, you can find your way. And obviously, Chris Sale would have to be a really important part of that.
You like the one-inning thing? You think that's the way to go? And by the way, I said that maybe they're just doing it because he wore down last year. I don't think he's really hurt. I mean, the guy was throwing 97 in the game. I just think they just want to keep him somewhat sharp until they get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of those things. I do think that there's something going on there, but absolutely, and Alex Cora has made it very clear with a lot of decisions he's making. He's not thinking of, hey, we're pushing for the, you know, single-season record for victories. We're looking to run away with the division. He's all about October, and I think what David Price said, and I can't remember, I read this, his comments, maybe it was to Overall Reporters, maybe it was just to Rob Bradford at WEI, but he said that, look, I can win 35 games during the year, and it won't matter if I don't win in October. He's exactly right, and I think you can apply that to everyone from Alex Cora all the way through the 25th guy on the team. They need to advance to be seen as having made progress. And I think Chris Sale and protecting him for October is really smart.
Buster, what's the deal with Rafael Devers? I mean, he's playing 5 to 6 days a week all summer long. All of a sudden, he's in danger of not even being on the playoff roster.
One, and I have not seen specific references to this reporting, but I know from watching, and, you know, when you're not someone who's covering the team every day, you get the before and after. You know, you watch a team specifically in TV on one day, and then maybe 10 days later you watch 9 innings. He clearly put on weight since last year. He clearly got heavier. I mentioned to you guys last year that there were questions in the eyes of evaluators with other teams whether he can be an everyday third baseman. I know the Red Sox still to this day internally feel like that he can. I think that, you know, between the performance that he had on the field and how erratic he was, the defense that he has, and I'm guessing the conditioning issues, kind of like Gary Sanchez with the Yankees, that they're probably feeling, you know what, you got to step it up here. You're in the big leagues now, and you have to take care of yourself better. And you know, I talked about this with A.J. Hinch, the Astros manager, recently, where you're seeing the emergence of Tyler White and Evan Gattis on the Astros side kind of disappearing. Rafael Devers, the same thing happened. He's kind of disappearing. You get to September, it's all about the results. You know, that we, if you hit, you're going to play. If you don't perform, you're going to be out, and they'll find somebody who is good.
Buster, are we at that point where Devers could not be on the playoff roster? Are we even thinking that, or are we just thinking Brandon Phillips maybe is the starter potentially, or Eduardo Nunez is the starter?
I have not specifically asked that question, so my answer is going to be uninformed, but I absolutely believe that it'll come down to whether or not they see utility in a Brandon Phillips. And I know from talking with Alex the other day about him, he said, look, our player development people were telling us, yeah, he could help. He could help. And Alex was kind of like, I don't know, I've got other guys. And then it wasn't until a week ago Monday, so what, 9 days ago in the morning, he woke up and he said, you know what, I'm gonna do it. The guy's a veteran. He's been playing all over the place. He's kept his mouth shut. He's ridden the buses in the minor leagues. He's done a really good job down there. Let's see if he can help. He had a great game against the Braves last week in Atlanta, and all of a sudden they're like, you know what, he can play first base. He can play third base. He can move around, and Devers does not lend that type of utility to a roster. So, yeah, I think there is a chance that he could be left off the playoff roster unless he really shows something here in the next 20 days.
Buster Olney, ESPN, with us here on the Huddle. Buster, before we get to the Yankees, one more question on the Red Sox. We were talking with Tom Caron yesterday of Nesson, and we were talking about what the Red Sox really have to play for still now that they've clinched a playoff berth. How important do you think it is for them to try to absolutely bury the Yankees in their next two meetings with them so that they can push the Yankees below the A's in the wild card standings and send New York out to Oakland and cause all kinds of travel issues for them potentially for a first-round playoff matchup?
I don't think that – I mean, look, if you're in the Red Sox world, that's a really attractive thought, right? doing that. I don't think that Alex would micromanage to that point. I do think that there is something drawn out of – these head-to-head matchups between teams that are going to see each other in October, the superpowers. And look, the Red Sox have more of these in the last month than anybody, where they faced the Astros, and it felt like an important win, even though it really didn't matter in the standings on Sunday night, but it felt like an important win for the Red Sox against the Astros, right? Where they, you know, were beaten by them last year, knocked out of the postseason. They'd struggled against some of the other teams, and so to come back the way they did on Sunday night, that felt like an important win. I feel that way in that Yankee series that's coming up, and I think they're probably going to be able to play that series without seeing Aaron Judge based on what I heard earlier today. You know, and that's a good thing for them. And I think when they play Cleveland next week, that's going to be an important series. You're going to want to send messages and build up some confidence. I think that's going to be more important in keeping guys healthy than anything in the standings regarding the Yankees.
Buster, I probably asked this 3 weeks in a row, but he keeps going out and being mediocre, so I'll ask it again. Is Luis Severino still your starter in a wild card game for the Yankees?
I think he's got to show something between now and that wild card game. Absolutely. And, you know, I think I mentioned to you when we talked about it a couple weeks ago that the Yankees were watching his body language and they've got concerns. And that's what I got before we had on a Sunday night game in Baltimore. Some of the feedback I got from Yankee people was, boy, on the mound, he just does not look like the same guy. The stuff is the same, like the velocity readings and the spin rate and all that information, that's all the same. But he clearly is having a crisis in confidence right now. And, you know, he's a young player, and that can happen sometimes. But I got to believe that right now, and this can really vary, you know, day to day, week to week, leading up to that wild card game, from the Yankees' perspective, you're feeling better about handing the ball to a Tanaka, maybe even a Sabathia or a Jay Happ, who's pitched well for the Yankees, And then with the anticipation you're going to follow it with aggressive use of the bullpen than you would giving the ball to Severino right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, Buster, I'm not a big individual awards guy, but I'm just so intrigued on what's going to happen in the NL Cy Young. I mean, I'm a Met fan. I love to see DeGrom win it, but can you really give it to a guy that's sub 500 that doesn't have double-digit victories, even though he's like a half a ERA, half a run less than the next person? I don't know. What do you do with this?
Yeah, I think you absolutely could give the award to him. His ERA is what, 0.4 of a run better, half a run better than anybody else in the National League. If you ask the question, who's been the best pitcher in the National League? What's the answer?
Maybe Scherzer?
Yeah, I had this conversation loosely, and I won't use the players' names out of respect for them.
Right.
But I asked some of the Astros guys I was hanging out with. I'm like, hey, who's the National League Cy Young Award winner? And they were like, DeGrom. DeGrom. But I think you hit it on the head with your question. Can you give it to a guy who has 8 wins? And I do think that for writers, for some of the writers who are going to vote, there's going to be kind of a mental hurdle for them to have to overcome if he doesn't hit double digits.
Oof.
Like, I think that that could turn out to be important. It does seem kind of silly. Like, what's the difference between 8 wins and 10 wins? But I think for some writers, they're going to want to see him reach double digits.
It's like Westbrook with the triple-double. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Exactly. I think there's some, and I want to make it absolutely clear, I have not voted for any award since 1996, so I don't actually have a vote.
Right.
But I think for writers who look at it, that'll be important.
Buster, I'll get you out of here on another individual question, another individual award question. American League Rookie of the Year. Is it a Yankee like Andujar or Torres, or do you give it to Ohtani because of the novelty factor?
Yeah, and it was very interesting. A couple weeks ago, we had that last Ohtani start on Sunday night, and some of the news outlets, NHK and other places, asked me, who would you pick for American League Rookie of the Year? And when I was originally being asked the question, I thought, I kind of felt like it was a setup, because I was like, well, to me, it's clearly Andujar when you look at the volume of work, and he's, you know, appeared in 40, 45 more games than Ohtani has. And I love Ohtani, and I think Ohtani's been great for baseball. But I just feel like Andujar, especially with his surge at the time the Judge was out, you know, he's the guy. But it's been interesting to see other writers come out and say that they think that Ohtani should win it because of the work that he did not only as a pitcher, but the fact that he's been a better hitter.
Yeah.
To me, I would still give it to Andujar, absolutely, but I think that it's going to be a split vote. And I think Ohtani, especially if he continues to serve as a DH and continue to get at bats and rack up offensive numbers, I think he's got a real shot to win.
All right, Buster, we're under 20 games to go, so here's the good part. We'll see what happens. Enjoy the games this week, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Okay, guys, that sounds great.
Take care.
Thanks, Buster.
Buster Olney, everybody, our ESPN Major League Baseball insider. So, he covered everything. Jeez. Did he say that he thought the Red Sox bullpen was like fifth out of the 6 teams that could make it?
Yeah.
But he wasn't picking the Red Sox as like the fifth favorite or anything
like that. No, he just said their bullpen is at the bottom of the power rankings. And he also said that he thinks there's a real chance Devers could miss the roster in the playoffs.
Who saw that coming?
I mean, that would be, it might be the right move ultimately, but it's still shocking to hear that. And when you think about what does it do, you talk about, he used the phrase crisis and confidence as far as Severino, who's a 23-year-old stud. Well, what would missing the playoff roster do to Rafael Devers' confidence?
Well, that's why I brought up, I mean, he was a 5-6-game-a-week guy for three-quarters of the season. All of a sudden, wham.
But then again, without the pressure of the playoffs or being the starter, having to, you know, come through, maybe he'd be helped by coming off the bench.
Right. At least I'd miss the roster entirely,
I don't think he's going to miss the roster.
Well,
I can't.
It's going to be tricky because if you take him out of the equation, you put Phillips at third, you got Nunez at second and third, and you've got Kinsler at second.
And you got Brock Holt, who's going to make the team.
That's true. Of course he will.
Mike and Swan said, wouldn't that make DeGrom the MVP, considering what he's worth to the Mets?
Well, if you're going to use the word valuable, sure.
The only time I remember that is when Steve Carlton won, like, close to 20 games.
He won 27.
For
a last-place Phillies team.
Who won, like, 67.
Can you imagine? That
to me is the MVP, right?
Right.
When you win 27 games for a team like that.
That is a record that will never be broken.
What, winning 27 games?
27 games for a last-place team.
Right. That to me, is that what, and he won the MVP that year or no?
I don't know.
Not the MVP, the Cy Young, right?
Oh, I'm sure he won Cy Young. Are you saying that DeGrom should win the MVP, because that's what
you just
said.
No, that's what Mike and Swanton won.
Yeah, Mike and Swanton.
Oh, okay.
I think Mike and Swanton, though, meant to say the Cy Young.
No, he's saying if DeGrom is the most valuable pitcher in all of baseball, wouldn't he also be the MVP?
Not with that record.
That's not going to happen. Yeah, he might get a vote.
He might not even win Cy Young.
No, he's got 8 wins.
What's the guy for, not Scherzer, the other guy for...
Aaron Nola.
Yeah, Nola.
Nola with the Phillies.
Yeah, he's like 16-4. I mean, is this guy not getting any votes? Because he pitches for the Phillies?
Nola's having a great year. Nola's having an absolutely
he's
great
second
year.
He's second at ERA. Shouldn't this guy be the number one, the front runner for the Cy Young?
The Phillies are only 4 games over 500. I know we're not talking about the Mets, but the Phillies aren't going to the playoffs either.
Yeah, but I mean, he's got 16 wins. He could have like close to 18 or 19 when it's all said and done. All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, are you worried about the Patriots getting into a war of words with the Jaguars this weekend? The Pats are all starting to talk to the media right now.
All right, that's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 The Game.
The Dan Pat. With studios powered by McKenzie Natural Artisan Deli. 100% natural and antibiotic free. At McKenzie, we believe when you make it right, it simply honestly tastes better. This is 101.3 The Game. And now, your latest forecast.
Wednesday night into Thursday, we're partly cloudy, dry, and mild. You will have to be careful of a few areas of fog late. Lows will be in the upper 50s. Thursday, we're partly to mostly sunny, still comfortable. High temperatures jump into the upper 70s to near 80. Thursday night, mostly clear and quiet. Lows near 59. Friday, quiet weather continues, mostly sunny skies with highs in the low 80s. With your forecast on 101.3 The Game, I'm Chief Meteorologist Sean Parker with Local 22 and Local 44 News.
Currently 74 degrees at 101.3 The Game.
Local guys talking sports. The Huddle is on 101.3 The Game.
All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 The Game. Brady, read what Mike and Swan's asking you. Oh, my goodness, with the sabermetrics and the millennial stuff. Oh, my goodness. There's two of them now. There's two tweets there.
He says, wouldn't this make DeGrom the MVP? According to sabermetrics, he has the highest WAR, wins above replacement. So shouldn't the guy with the highest WAR be the MVP?
And isn't that what the V stands for when he's saying valuable, I guess? I don't know about the WAR and all that. First, let me just ask you a simple question. Let's try to keep it simple. When you're doing the Cy Young, are you looking at ERA or are you looking at wins? What's the most important thing to you? Because as Buster told you, there's going to be riders that are going to have a block that are not going to give it to DeGrom because he doesn't have 10 wins. And also because you're sub 500. I mean, it's a great ERA, but bottom line is you got to look at wins.
Right. I'm looking at ERA.
Well, then it's DeGrom. Yeah, but I mean, so Max Scherzer with a 2-3 ERA, yeah, and he's going to probably win 20 games.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, it's the same.
It matters, but look, Arnie, if I said to you, okay, guy's got 21 wins and has an ERA of 4, is he the best pitcher?
But that's not going to happen, though.
It's not?
Rick
Porcello.
Yeah.
When
did Porcello finish on the Cy Young?
He won it. He had 22 wins.
Okay, but you know
what? He had an ERA of 3-5, though.
Give me the top three, and we'll see exactly if they had better ERAs and what it was compared to with wins, too. Because, you know, that throws your theory out that ERA matters more than wins. It's about wins. Because if he had a 4 ERA, well, geez. I mean, I guess ERA is not important then, Brady, as you're making it out to
be. I mean, they were swayed by 22-4. I mean, that's a pretty unbelievable
record. But that's what I'm telling you. When Rodden Guidry was 25-3 for the Yankees. You know, it's all about that win total up there.
Well, it's like Steve Carlton, 27 wins on a last-place team.
Porcello went 22-4 with a 3-1-5.
Okay.
Yeah, and he walked pretty much nobody.
Yeah.
Verlander was next, 16-9 with a 3-0-4.
Well, okay, so there you go. It was always going to be
Porcello. The one people were going for that year, remember, was Zach Britton, the reliever. He had 50 saves and an ERA of 0.54, 47 saves. People wanted to give it to him.
Has there been a reliever that won Cy Young? Maybe Bruce Sutter? I'm thinking.
I think Eck won it one year, didn't he?
Eckersley?
When he was completely unhittable.
I think Guidry won the MVP the year that he went 25-3 back in 1978. No. I believe he won the MVP and Cy Young.
See, I don't think DeGrom's going to win it. I mean, he's been. You look at his numbers, they're absolutely ridiculous except for one category. And I just think Scherzer's got 17 wins. He's got more than twice as many as DeGrom. He's got an ERA obviously higher, but he's got 271 strikeouts. I think the real intriguing matchup's going to be, and Aaron Nola. We haven't talked about him either.
We did.
I mean, he's had an unbelievable season.
By the way, your buddy Jake in Williston.
He goes, I'm not looking at ERA or wins. Don't care about either in terms of pitching stats. DeGrom for Cy Young all day.
What are you giving Cy Young based on looks? Who's the better looking guy? If you don't go by ERA or wins, what the hell are you going by then? Height?
You got to go by field independent pitching. You got to go by
fit. What the hell is that?
It's basically how you pitch, you know, that takes your teammates out of it.
Tristan Wilson said Eric Gagne won the Cy Young year that he was perfect in save opportunities.
Right.
I never would have guessed Eric Gagne.
And I'll tell you,
Mr. Steroids. Never would have guessed
I have no idea what's going to happen because of the Chris Sale factor. And I mean, Trevor Bauer, too. You know, they went down late in the season, and that's going to hurt them. Sale's got the lowest ERA. But,
and he leads, he's got the best war, too.
But I mean, you look at Blake Snell, who threw a one hitter today for Tampa. He's going to end up winning about 21 games with an ERA right around two.
And Tampa's 16 games over 500. Don't act like they're in the basement of the league.
But let's face it. When you think Tampa, do you really quake in your shoes? I mean, their manager, and I couldn't even tell you who it is,
Kevin Cash.
That's right. It's Kevin Cash, deserves a lot of votes for manager of the year this year.
And I want to see what happens in the MVP voting for the American League, because if Mookie is going to take votes away from Martinez and somebody else is going to steal it, I don't think so.
There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people in that discussion in general. Jose Ramirez, Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez, Matt Chapman, Chris Davis. I mean, that's five right there.
Yep. Although Davis and Ramirez have not been hitting lately at all.
That's you can't give it to anybody other than Chris Davis or Martinez.
Because you only believe in home runs.
Well, they're 1-2 in home runs and batting and RBIs.
Yeah, but you throw in things like stolen bases. You throw things like runs.
That means nothing. Stolen bases.
Runs generated.
That's like who's prettier. That means nothing to me.
Runs scored.
Runs scored.
That means nothing to me.
I still say
it's all about batting average RBI. Yes, home runs are important too, but it's all about batting average RBI.
So you wouldn't give it to Mookie because he doesn't come close to that in home runs.
Oh, no. I wouldn't have Mookie in maybe my top five.
And what about Trout?
Trout would, he doesn't have the home runs, does he?
Because he's been on the DL.
Right. See, I can't give it to a guy on the DL, but he would have the numbers if he did.
Trout's the best player. I don't care who wins the award. Trout's the best player in baseball.
You love that guy.
He's the best player in baseball.
You just love him.
He's hands down.
Can you imagine if he went to Seattle someday?
He is hands down.
Unbelievable.
Well, with my luck, they'll get him when he's 34 and he'll get hurt the first day.
J.D. Martinez has a legitimate shot of winning the Triple Crown.
He should be the favorite.
How do you not make him the MVP?
I bet you if I looked up on the Vegas gambling sites, J.D. Martinez would be the favorite to win the AL MVP.
Guy's
I bet
over
you that.
330 with massive power.
He has to be the favorite.
What about the fact that he's only played 51 games in the outfield?
Yeah, I know.
Played 51 games in defense.
That means nothing to me.
So he's not the most valuable player. Give him the most valuable hitter.
I'll give him the most valuable player. I'm not going to give him the gold glove, though.
It's the Edgar Martinez Hall of Fame discussion. Here we go.
Please. I don't give a damn what you do in the field.
It is not the Edgar Martinez
Absolutely.
Hall of Fame discussion.
It isn't anymore, but...
Well, Edgar's not in the Hall of Fame.
What's that? Oh, he's not in. But I mean, that's why he's not in.
There's
do you disagree?
There's a position called the designated hitter. There's an actual position.
Right.
But so since it's a position that he excelled at, he should be in the Hall of Fame.
My point is the reason he's not in it is because he was a DH.
But the DH is a position.
Yeah, that's not
but
a reason.
But why are you disagreeing with that? That's the sole reason Edgar Martinez isn't in.
And I'm saying... That might be the reason, but it's a ludicrous
premise. Not the reason.
That is the reason.
It's not his offense.
That he was a DH?
Yes, that's the reason. But
they put pinch hitter. Didn't they have, what was the all-time, Manny Mota? No, he's not in the Hall of Fame. So they have no pinch hitters then.
It's ludicrous in the fact that to say, there's a designated hit. It's like, would you put a kicker in the Football Hall of Fame?
Ray Guy's
in there. Okay.
There's a position for it, so Edgar should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, I agree. I don't know what you're yelling at me about. I agree.
Okay. I want to yell at you.
Let's step back for a second. I'm saying J.D. Martinez should not win the MVP because he doesn't play defense.
Right, and it's the same reason why Edgar Martinez isn't in the Hall of Fame.
And I'm saying it's ridiculous, and that shouldn't even apply in Edgar's case because there's an actual position for DH. The DH is an actual position.
Okay,
so therefore, he should be in the Hall of Fame because he excelled at the position.
Okay.
I'm saying the MVP is the most valuable player, of which J.D. Martinez played one-third of the games on defense.
But
therefore, he's not the most valuable player.
Wait a minute. You're saying two different things here. You're saying J.D. Martinez, since he's the DH, can't be the MVP.
Correct.
But Edgar Martinez, even though he's the DH, can be in the Hall of Fame.
Because
there's the same position.
Yeah, because there's a difference between Hall of Fame and
being
an MVP.
But I'm arguing that it's the same position.
It is.
It's DH. What's the difference between what J.D. Martinez is doing not playing defense and what Edgar Martinez has done not playing defense?
In the Hall of Fame, in the sport of baseball, there is an actual position called the designated hitter. So therefore, anyone who plays that position should be eligible to win the Hall of Fame. Or to go in the Hall of Fame. As far as J.D. Martinez winning the Most Valuable Player award, he is not a complete player. He does not play defense. He is not a full player.
He's played almost half the games on the field.
Is this true? Tristan Wilson said that Ted Williams won two Triple Crowns in 42 and 47 and didn't win the MVP either.
Well, I don't remember when it stopped,
yeah.
But you could at one point only win the MVP one time. And once you won it one time, you could not win it again.
You're right. You're right.
I don't know if that extended that far.
You're right. You're right about that. And Tristan said Eckersley won the Cy Young and MVP in 1992.
Yeah, he was literally unhittable.
Guitry didn't win it in 1978 when he was 25
and 3. I don't have that list.
Well, I guess I don't know who won the MVP.
I'm stewing about J.D. Martinez. I can't believe he's...
I think Mookie may take some votes away from him.
That I agree with. But, I mean, and Alex Bregman is in the conversation. I've heard all kinds of different
names. One of the Fox hosts said, does anybody even know who Mookie Betts is outside of Boston? No, seriously, outside of Boston? Like, if I said, hey, we're going to have Mookie Betts on, you'd have to say, here he is, Mookie Betts. He leads the American League in batting, and he plays for the Red Sox. Here's Mookie Betts. Because a lot of people are not even going to know who the hell he is.
Yeah. And he's hitting 342 with power and steals.
John in St. Albans says, Brady, your argument makes no sense.
My argument makes perfect sense.
If a DH is a position, Martinez is MVP.
That's exactly what Jason wants to come on and yell at me about also.
Is he on the line?
Yeah.
Jason, you're on 101.3 The Game. What's going on, Jason?
Hey, not much. Brady, what are you talking about? Are you
crazy? That's what I said.
Even Cameron Highgate said, what is Brady smoking? I want some.
Wow.
That's what I said.
Yeah, so a DH is a position, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
A player on a team, correct?
Correct.
So if you're the most valuable player on the team, why can't you win that award? No matter what position you play.
Let me ask you this. Would you put a punter into the Hall of Fame if they were really good?
Sure.
Okay. Would you give the punter the MVP award?
If he was the MVP, I
guess.
Depends
what they do. Yeah. If they were actually the legitimate most valuable player on the team,
if he punted 99 yards every time, maybe, I guess.
See, I don't buy that argument because... I mean, he's either first or second in every offensive category except stolen bases.
If I told you that Mike Trout was, let's just say for the sake of argument, J.D. Martinez finishes the year with 45 homers, okay? Let's say Mike Trout finishes the year with 37 homers. And let's say that J.D. Martinez ends up with 15 more RBIs. But Mike Trout steals 25 bases, of which J.D. Martinez steals 5, mm-hmm. and Mike Trout plays Gold Glove caliber defense, and J.D. Martinez plays not only not Gold Glove caliber defense, he doesn't even play defense mm-hmm. in two-thirds of the team's games. Who's more valuable?
Yeah, but that's insignificant, those little things there.
First of all, Trout's going to drive in maybe 80 runs this year. J.D. Martinez is going to drive in about 100.
I mean, it's just a hypothetical.
It's not even close.
It's just a hypothetical, though. I'm just saying, if a player plays, number one, plays defense and plays supreme defense and has comparable offensive mm-hmm. numbers, don't you think that puts him ahead of J.D. Martinez?
No.
If he has comparable offensive numbers, yes. But I don't see Mike Trout, other than the steals.
Forget Mike. It's just a hypothetical. I'm not saying Mike Trout is the biggest.
Punters don't score points. DHs do. Apples to oranges, Brady. Come on, man. Glenn and Moncton says, doesn't Mookie have the best average and the highest WAR? Sounds like MVP to me.
Yeah, I think Trout, who always has the highest WAR.
This is not who has the highest WAR. I know you guys like to use that stat. It's who has the most home runs, best batting average, and the most RBIs. And that's J.D. Martinez, who is, and Davis leads in. Well,
yeah,
they're right there. One, two.
He's not a. I'm going Martinez, and the reason I'm not taking I thought it was Jose Ramirez for the longest time, but he has done nothing in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Brian Fairfax says, I totally agree. Wait a minute, it's coming in too fast. I totally agree with Brady, bets for MVP, and there's no question. Brady didn't say bets for MVP, did he? I didn't hear that coming out of him.
No, I think he thinks Trout is the MVP.
Yeah, he likes Trout. Zach from Bristol, I'm with Rich. Martinez is the MVP, hands down. I'm the one that said Martinez was the MVP.
Well, I've said it all along.
Yeah. I'd give it to him. There's no doubt. But no. I said there's a chance he might not be able to win it because Mookie may steal some votes from him, but I don't know who they're going to give it to.
And the thing is, look, you got a couple of old guys here talking about, and we're not talking about things like WAR, but Mookie has a WAR of 10.4 right now, which is
so
only 20. Well, that stuff matters nowadays. I understand
all right,
that.
That
stuff matters. But he's one of only 21 batters to ever have a 10 WAR in a season.
Yeah,
so for the sabermetric crowd, that matters.
So I'm taking calls here and taking hits left and right. So let's look at
Yelling at you?
Yeah, let's examine this, too. Now, this has
I just want you to read this one. That says, I totally agree with Brady. Bets for MVP, and there's no question. So that's the one that agrees with you.
Okay, that's Brian in Fairfax. Yeah. Thank you. And I think Brian usually disagrees with me, so hey, there's one. But, okay, This doesn't happen very often, but it has happened in history. How often do pitchers win MVP?
Once every 10 years? I'm just guessing.
No, I think it's fewer than that.
Yeah, it's fewer than that,
so,
Richard.
All right.
Yeah.
So pitchers who are great.
Every fifth or sixth day, yes.
A pitcher who is great. So would you give a pitcher the MVP?
I would if he's completely ridiculously dominant. If he wins 25 games and has an ERA of 1.7.
Okay. So let me ask you that. So you would give a pitcher an MVP if they have head and shoulders, unbelievable, the best year by far.
Only in that case, yes.
Do you view J.D. Martinez as having that head and shoulders of a year above every other position player who plays defense?
No.
Okay.
No,
so
but he plays every day.
So that's what I'm saying.
He's at the plate every day. I mean, I get the DH complaint. I understand it. But first of all, it's not like with Edgar Martinez. The problem for him was he played zero games in the field. Is that correct?
Yes.
I mean, at least with J.D. Martinez, he's played 50 games.
If you're telling me that J.D. Martinez hit 390 and had 52 homers and 180 RBIs,
right.
Well, yes, I would give him the MVP because, like your pitcher argument, that would be head and shoulders mm-hmm. above everybody else. But if you're going to tell me that, yes, he hits 330, but, hey, somebody else hits 329 and somebody else hits 327, and he hit 45 home runs and someone else hit 42 and 41, that's not head and shoulders above to me over guys that played every day, had close to similar offensive productivity, also scored runs, stole bases, and played supreme defense.
So who is
that's
your
all
MVP?
I'm saying.
Because Trout and Betts have basically the same numbers. I mean, if you add them all up. I mean, is one of those two your MVP?
I got to go and look at all the numbers. I wasn't prepared to be talking MVP individual awards today.
We're going to talk football.
I just want to give this to you. According to Vegas, they're saying the odds to win the 2018 American League Cy Young Award, the favorite right now, overwhelming favorite, Chris Sale minus 250 means you got to bet $250 to win 100.
Not enough.
Second
innings.
Place, Corey Kluber at plus 450. Oh. Verlander plus 600.
Blake Snell is not even in the top three.
Plus 900 for Snell. Ugh. Now, if you go to the National League, the favorite, not as overwhelming, but a pretty big favorite, Jacob DeGrom, minus 150. Max Scherzer, plus 120. Huh. Nola, plus 900.
What's the MVP? Do you have that one?
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. The MVP, American League. No, that's the... No, I got to find that one. So give me a second on that. I got to go ahead and find that
one. But, I mean, Betts and... Let's face it, statistically, Betts and Trout, you can argue they're both having the same year, and they both play very much the same kind of game. I mean, they both hit. Trout's hitting 316. Betts is leading the league at 342. So advantage Betts there. But if you want to go down the line, Trout has four more home runs. Trout and Betts RBI wise, I think Betts has three more RBI. Trout has 22 steals. Betts has 27. I mean,
so if
they're the same guy.
Okay, and they both spent time on the DL. That's where I would take away from their cases, and that they both spent time. I'm not saying J.D. Martinez can't win it. Because logistically, if you're going to start knocking out people, I would downgrade Betts because he's been on the DL. He hasn't played every game of the year. I've downgrade Trout because he hasn't played every game of the year. But I'm just saying, I don't remember how this conversation started, but simply...
It started because I made a comment about the Edgar Martinez factor into the Hall of Fame.
Here it is, and this is crazy. This is as of September 4th. So
this is a week ago.
A week ago, which I can't even believe what I'm reading. They have Mookie Betts, not only the favorite, the overwhelming favorite at minus 235.
Alex Bregman's in the conversation some places.
As he
they
should
have
be.
Mike Trout second at plus 450, J.D. Martinez plus 5. They're saying Mookie Betts by far going to go ahead and win it. That's insane.
Because I think that
that's insane.
That premium defense and stolen bases, and runs scored, and home runs, and RBIs. I think all of that matters. How this started was you are giving me batting average, home run, RBIs.
That's exactly what it used to be.
It's not anymore. Because
I understand the WAR aspect and all that stuff.
WAR, defense, and stolen bases with runs scored. They all matter.
All right. I don't know what we'll talk about next, but we'll get at it right here on 101.3 The Game.
Clay Trent
matters.
The greatest minds in sports are anywhere near this building. It's The Huddle, 101.3, The Game.
All right, I'm not sure what we're going to talk about, but Zach in Bristol says, I'm with Rich. Martinez is the MVP, hands down. I don't know when it went from no longer batting average RBIs and home runs to, you know, I have to apologize. That can't be the right odds. It can't be that that J.D. Martinez is third favorite, way behind Mookie Betts, and Trout is second. That can't be right. And I know that was a week ago, but I just can't believe that.
It can be, depending on what stats you're talking about. The old school people like you and me, we know about home runs, RBIs,
ridiculous.
And average.
No, actually, that can't even be possible, because as Brady said, Trout's hurt.
Yeah, but look at his numbers.
Betts, Trout, Martinez as of September 4th.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I saw.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Welcome
I think
to the new MLB.
Yeah, I really got to think there's a problem or something like that. I'm not understanding
that. I think that's entirely possible. I just think it should be Martinez. That doesn't mean he's going to win.
Here's something that's interesting, because this is a good point. Todd goes, look at the difference between last year's Red Sox lineup and this one. Martinez has made all the difference in the middle of their lineup and should be the MVP. Did you read the story? It was Ken Rosenthal yesterday in The Athletic who said he would give the MVP to Martinez because of the impact that he has had in the clubhouse and on his other teammates. He said Betts's numbers are obviously buoyed up by Martinez's productivity, but also just Martinez is like a second hitting coach. Would you give any weight in this vote to what this guy does in the clubhouse and what his impact is on others around him?
I would not. I think the thing is, though, I mean, how many old school guys still see the letter V in the MVP and take that part of it into account? If you're going to add the letter V and take it seriously, then he's way ahead of everybody.
Nick in Plattsburgh says, I don't see any DH on the MVP history list in the Major League Baseball. Jim in New York says, if JD is the best at his position, the DH, and also contributes in the field, if anything, he's going above and beyond. It's kind of a point there, too. You consider him as a fielder, and then he misses games. How come he's not a DH that plays 50-plus games into the field, adding above and beyond? I like that way.
I mean,
I like that thought of it.
I'm saying to you, okay, think about it this way. We can do a circular logic on this all the time.
Oh, wow, circular logic.
If J.D. Martinez wins the Triple Crown, I would give it to him. I'm old school enough that I would give it to him if he wins the Triple Crown.
You shouldn't even have to be old school to give it to him.
My point is that if he doesn't win the Triple Crown, and there are comparable numbers on offense for other players, that I'm going to downgrade J.D. Martinez's chances because of his defense. Think about it this way. If you look at it and say, okay, Kyrie Irving averages 28 points a game next season.
Right.
And Russell Westbrook averages 31. Well, based on what you're telling me, well, Russell Westbrook's the MVP.
No,
he averaged more points.
Because in basketball, it depends how far your team does go, because the points are so close. There's not a difference between 31, 30, 29, 28. It does depend how far your team goes, I believe.
But they vote before the season ends.
Right, but that late in the season.
So, okay, fine. Yeah. I'll give you, how about this? Russell Westbrook averages 34 and Kyrie Irving averages 28. You're telling me then, based on points that Russell Westbrook would get.
Yes, well, Russell Westbrook got it for the triple-double.
But what if I tell you Kyrie Irving was the best defender in the league,
right,
had two turnovers a game, and Russell Westbrook was a terrible defender and had eight turnovers a game. Wouldn't you then give weight to what the other guy does?
There's no proof that he's the best defender. We're just assuming, because that's all subjective. There's no point. There's no
metrics.
No, but not really for defense except for block shots and steals.
But basketball is, I mean, it's such a statistics-driven game in a lot of ways, but it all depends on where you're at and what the system is. For Oklahoma City, Westbrook has the ball 60% of the time in his hands.
It doesn't depend in baseball who's around you. I mean, J.D. Martinez is aided by the lineup around him, where Mike Trout doesn't have any benefits.
Absolutely. I will agree with you with that, but I think baseball is a much more individual sport. The pitcher against the hitter, and the hitter dictates what his stats are by how well he hits. With basketball, if you're Russell Westbrook and you got nobody for teammates, and you've got your hands on the ball almost the entire game, you're going to pile up stats. You're going to take 35 shots every night, you're going to pile up numbers. But I agree with your point, Brady, about Kyrie Irving. If he finishes 7 or 8 points less than Russell Westbrook, that's a product of the Boston system.
And also, if he finished 7 points less, but had far fewer turnovers and had more assists and created more for other guys around him, I'd be giving it to Kyrie Irving over Russell Westbrook. It can't just be about counting stats.
Right. And anybody in the NBA can score 30 points a game if you take enough shots.
Easy there.
Well, if you take enough shots, if you go in there and you decide the system is going to be that I'm going to take 35 shots every night, hello, Carmelo Anthony, you can be a star.
By the way, before the season started, the favorite to win the most valuable player was Bryce Harper.
Well, that's in the National League.
Yes,
League. Nice. He's getting it up over 250.
Yeah. Well, that was a buddy thrown out the window. I promise you that. I don't know who the favorite was in the American. Well, probably your guy.
Probably Trout.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
I want to update our Facebook poll question today. Are you someone who lets sports affect your overall happiness on a day-to-day basis? 60% of you still saying no. 40% yes. Mario in Colchester put on Facebook, I used to a lot when I played fantasy, and I had to give it up. Now I enjoy watching all the games and rooting for the Pats to win. Before, I would need like a wide receiver or a running back for another team to do well and also get a Pats win. It sucked. I haven't looked back.
All right, I need to hang out with him because I just I cannot watch a Patriots game and remain calm under any circumstances.
Jake and Williston, your buddy, said, Arnie, I can literally name 13 NBA metrics to measure defense. There are many more. Yeah, but he went to Harvard.
Yeah.
You know, I went to an Ivy League school in Arizona. And
that's funny. I wasn't aware there was
You
one.
Didn't know that? You didn't know we're in the Ivy League now? There's not 13 NBA metrics. See, that's why nobody cares about defense.
Did Jake really go to Harvard, and how do you know that?
He plays basketball with us.
We play basketball.
Oh, okay. He's one of those guys.
Well, he's the guy that couldn't score last Monday.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And he hosts Sports Saturday, which Jeff Paul
sometimes
is. Oh, it's
that
Jake.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's the only guy that's bigger than me at the basketball court.
Okay.
Wow, did I just say that? I love you, Jake. I'm sorry about that. Sorry about that. All right, got great last story standing. Rich, I hope you didn't see it. I wonder if you saw it this morning. It's about an author.
I don't think so. If I did, I've already forgotten it. See, that's the advantage with me, is I just forget them all. So.
It's not a great story. It's unfortunate, but wow, what a story. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 The Game.
They mean what they say, and they say what they mean. Sometimes it might even make sense. The Huddle is back on 101.3 The Game.
By the way, Chris in Green City Garage says pitching award Cy Young, 100% about stats. You wanted to throw that out there. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I go by that also.
Yeah.
You'll love this. I don't know if you'll love this last story standing. It's about an author. She's a romance author from Oregon, and she wrote, what did you say that word? A
treatise.
A treatise.
Yes.
What's a treatise?
Or a treatise, as you call
yes.
it.
Yes, what is a treatise?
It's like somebody writing about a subject. I think. Well, it's like I'm going to write a treatise on the Cy Young Award.
She wrote a treatise on how is the best way to murder your spouse a long time ago.
Nice.
Well,
uh-oh.
Guess what? She's been charged with murdering her spouse. Yes. September 5th, Portland police arrested and charged 68-year-old Nancy Crampton Brophy with the murder and unlawful use of a weapon. More than 3 months after her 63-year-old husband, Daniel, was found shot dead in a kitchen, her kitchen, and she did it. And then she went on Twitter and said, oh, I'm suffering and my husband was killed. Please save the phone calls until I can function. Well, you did it, lady. And she wrote the book on how to do it. I mean, how stupid do you have to be to write a subject on how to kill your husband? And then kill your husband.
That's going to become a bestseller because, as they say, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Unbelievable.
I wonder how close she did actually doing it as far as how she did it to her husband as to the treatise.
I don't know. Maybe it was like 1 week away. No, I have no idea. All right, Brady, let's go ahead and get to the Sox lineup because game two of the three-game set against the Toronto Blue Jays. And who's on the mound again?
David Price.
That's tonight.
Right, David Price.
Against Sanchez.
Said he's not going anywhere. Ever. So he'll be
not.
Here collecting everything.
Why would
Toronto 65-79, Blue Jays 99, or actually, well, Red Sox 99-46. They go for win number 100 today. Aaron Sanchez 4-5 on the mound for Toronto. David Price 14-6 for the Red Sox. Billy McKinney is in right field. He leads off for Toronto. Devin Travis is at second. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is at shortstop. Kendrys Morales, the DH. Yanhervé Solarte, the former Yankee, at third. Teoscar Hernandez in left. Rowdy Tellez is at first. And Danny Jansen is the catcher. And Jonathan Davis is in center. So
who?
A lot of September call-ups.
Wow.
Playing.
Gosh. Sounds like the New Hampshire Fisher Cats.
Playing Jeez. For the Blue Jays today. Mookie Betts in right. Andrew Benintendi in left. The possible MVP, J.D. Martinez, is hitting third. He's the DH. Xander Bogaerts at short, Mitch Moreland at first, Rafael Devers at third, Brock Holt at second, Santa Leon the catcher, Jackie Bradley Jr. in center.
I didn't get to the story about the football coach that like tore a ligament in his bicep, had to have surgery because he did you see that?
Yes.
Because he celebrated the first touchdown by doing like the fist pump.
Yes.
And he ripped like something in his arm and got hurt doing that. So I thought that was funny. All right. How many interns say? Just intern Isaiah?
Intern Isaiah?
We got to get a lot more interns.
We have,
I need like 50 of them.
We have more coming. We have intern Kevin tomorrow.
I didn't get my milkshake today because I didn't have an intern. I was very upset about that. I needed something today to get
intern
me to
Hunter's going to start next week.
Intern who?
Hunter.
Hunter?
That's a new one.
That's a millennial name. I'll destroy him. I'll destroy him.
I already have.
All right. For intern Isaiah, for Brady, for Rich, and for Arnie, we have the Fox coming up, and then we'll have the pregame. Toronto and the Red Sox. That will start at about 6:25. So stick around for that. You're listening to 101.3 The Game.